much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And when did the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's so rich and creamy, and I love that it's all natural.
Wow, a song named after a girl. There aren't a million of those already.
Name 20.
Rosanna, Roxanne, Michelle, Allison, Sarah, Angie, Brandy, Mandy, Gloria, Cecilia, Maggie Mae, Jessica, Nancy, Barbara Ann, Billie Jean, Layla, Lola, Polly, Helena, Jenny from the Block.
Name 6 more.
Sherry, Laura, Wendy, Maria, Peggy Sue, Minnie the Moocher.
Name 5 more.
Tracy, Jean, Jane, Mary Ann, Eleanor Rigby.
Go yourself.
And now.
My vagina ain't handicapped. Vagina ain't handicapped. So what, I can't walk. My vagina ain't handicapped.
Our feature presentation.
Dude, there's got to be a way to stop playing that.
I was laughing, then I was crying.
No, then you were laughing. To be honest, then it went back to laughing.
Yeah, okay.
Now I think we're in the crying phase.
Yep.
All of that happened during the 6 seconds that song was on the air? Wow. Like I can't hear that song enough. I love it so much. It's really my favorite thing that's come out this month. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
Hey, party people, welcome in. It is Thursday. It is Kevin and Bean Show. I was going to, unless you want to, I'll shelve my story if you want to talk about this, Kevin, but I was too depressed to talk about the riots. It bummed me out too much to talk about the riots in Vancouver last night.
In Vancouver?
Oh, my God. What? Don't even get me started. I think the Vancouver police, and I think they should do this in all sports cities when there's a finals, when championship is on the line. I think they ought to come out and say, okay, we shoot on site if we see you rioting after the game.
Yeah.
Now you know.
I don't think that goes over well.
No, it doesn't. And I know that you can't really do it, but I mean, the police are just, no matter how many you have, you're just so overmatched if you've got an angry mob. I mean, when you have tens of thousands of people, there's very little the police can do. I mean, anarchy happens in a flash after something like that. And the next thing you know,
you got yourself a TV.
Next thing you know, you got yourself a TV. They're just breaking windows everywhere, fires, turning over cars. It reminded me so much of what you and I saw in person in Montreal all those years ago.
Yeah.
And that was for a win. Now, if you do this when you lose, what are you saving for when you win?
Those of you that didn't see, Boston won the Stanley Cup, so they won everything in the NHL, and they did it in Vancouver.
Yeah. Right.
So that's kind of ugly. It always sucks when that happens because they're skating around, they're crying, they're excited, and the fans are like, boo! It's really rough.
But, I mean, had the Canucks won last night, would there still have been a riot in Vancouver?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Okay. Would there have been a riot in Boston because they lost? Probably not, because there wouldn't have been people leaving an arena, I guess.
Maybe, yeah.
There wouldn't have been a downtown crowd.
But there are people who live in Boston, so we got that knock against them, right?
Anyway, so I'm very, very depressed, especially since, you know, I live in Seattle, so Vancouver is a neighbor for me. I mean, I go up there a couple of times a year. I love that city, and every place they were showing on the news last night are places that I've been to and been in. You know what I mean?
And you were thinking, man, there's a riot going on, and I could be there.
No.
And I'm not. That would be so awesome.
I was thinking how sad it was people who own those stores that don't have anything to do with any of it, yet they're the ones who are going to be, you know, having thousands, tens of thousands, who knows, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of losses through no fault of their own, just for being wrong place, wrong time.
This seems like the only way that Canada busts out. Like, they're just so calm and peaceful and friendly. And then, but the hockey, man, that's it. That's their release valve.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, though. I mean, we do it in America, too. We've had our share. Let's face it. There have been riots after, you know, Laker game. You know, Laker wins and losses.
Yep.
So, I mean, it happens
everywhere.
We rioted
other times, too.
We do, though.
Yeah,
we don't just limit it to our sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know. How do you handle something like that? I mean, I guess all you can do is just have an overwhelming police presence, right? And let people out of the arena one at a time. Maybe that's what
you
do. All right, where are you going? All right, we're going to walk into your car, then we're going to let the next guy out. Go, 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 go.
I don't...
Doesn't bother you?
No.
Really?
No, I mean...
Isn't it just the worst that humans have to offer to act
God,
like that?
No. Of course not. Killing other people is the worst humans have.
Well, I mean...
This is turning over a car.
It could have happened. It's not. It's throwing things through store windows. It's setting fires. It's throwing rocks and bottles at the police.
Right.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing anybody's ever done.
How depressed can you be about that in another city? I don't understand that.
Because it's such a beautiful city, first of all.
Right.
Filled with wonderful people 99.9% of the time. Why does something like this have to happen that's so embarrassing to them?
Because there's bad people in every city?
But it's easy. It's so easy for it to not happen. I don't understand the mentality of I'm sad that my team lost, so I'm going to set this guy's car on fire who has nothing to do with it.
I don't understand.
Part of my problem may be that I'm a logical person, and you're not taking it out on anybody that has anything to do with what's making you upset.
Now, this has nothing to do with logic. That's the problem. Is that. It's not logic. It's just frustration.
It's ridiculous, but I understand less writing when you win.
It's either way.
That makes less sense to me.
Yeah. What is that about? Really,
like, is this just an excuse for a riot then?
We were in, where was it being? Montreal?
Mm-hmm.
In 93, when they won the cup and there was a riot outside, I think I saw Bean turn over a car light went on fire.
Bean.
And I'm pretty sure Bean threw a chair through a window. Maybe somebody shouldn't be talking so much.
Look inside, man.
Yeah.
You're right that it is. There are opportunistic people, and there are maybe some people who do it out of frustration. But then once people see it's on and I can get away with it, I don't even care who won the game, but here's my chance to get a TV.
Yeah.
That was 98% of the rioting after the, you know, after the OJ verdict. Was it the OJ verdict or was it the Simi Valley? Which one was
Simi
it?
Valley.
Simi Valley, yeah.
Simi Valley, the police officers, right. Yeah. Those were people who saw on TV that other people were rioting and said, I don't even care about the case. I just want to go out and get me some stuff.
It looks like there's mayhem. I want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So yeah.
I long to be in Vancouver. I was watching that and I was going, wow, those guys are having a lot of fun right now.
No, you weren't. You would not have wanted to be there. You would have been trying to get to your hotel so fast. Are you kidding me?
All right, maybe.
Anyway, I'm very depressed, just so you know.
Sorry. You're so weird.
That's not weird.
That's weird.
It's
because
not weird.
You're
it's...
not depressed about regular things. You're not depressed about...
But this is a regular
Our
thing.
Our lives and
this
people
is a real
here.
Thing.
And you see a riot in another city and you go, oh, I'm so bummed. I don't know how to handle that.
Well, I mean, you know.
You're not depressed about normal things.
This is a normal
thing.
This isn't a weird, out of the ordinary thing. This is something that you look at and it's sickening. It really is.
You're weird.
Why? Because you don't care about it. I'm weird. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's weird that you aren't bothered by it. Or think it looks like fun and wish you were there and, hey, could I get a TV?
Yeah, it's a joke.
But maybe that's weird.
but the pain...
As a hockey fan, doesn't it disgust you?
As a hockey fan, the entire finals disgusted me. I hated them all. I hated both teams. They played dirty. They got too many penalties. Tim Thomas is the only guy I was rooting for, the goalie for Boston, because
he's
unbelievable. He's 37 years old, and he's like Yoda. But other than that, I hated all of them. But I love hockey. But I don't
care about the riots.
I don't see a riot and then get personally super depressed about that. That's just it's nothing to me.
That's weird. You are weird, by the way.
But you know what is really important to me is family and friends and things that happen around here.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't care about any of that stuff.
But you'll see a riot
and you'll go, oh. I'm going to kill myself.
I got a lot of family and friends things, too. And by the way, I always love, and this is our final note, and then we'll move on. I love the tradition in hockey to not shave during the playoffs. And it's, 2.5 weeks or something like that. And a lot of these guys are hairy guys, testosterone guys, manly men. And they end up, every one of them on the ice last night ended up looking like Zach Galifianakis. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but when they're skating around, it does look like some sort of a beard convention.
That's a super, super ugly tradition.
It is hilarious, though. And then there's the guys, and I know it's not their fault, and there's nothing they can do, but they're the guys like me who it would take 4 months to grow something that sort of looks like you might be starting a mustache. And they've got to be skating around going, boy, do I look ridiculous. Boy, do I look terrible with this peach fuzz when all these guys have got these giant beards.
I wonder, since this has been a tradition forever, I wonder how many people have went out and gotten fake beards because they can't grow one.
None.
I bet you not one person.
A fake beard that they would wear during the game?
Yeah, because they're embarrassed that they can't grow a beard.
I don't think that's something you could pull off every day, though, put on the fake beard and have nobody know that
I'll bet in all the years somebody's tried that. Can you imagine how funny that would be? And he's skating on the ice and it comes off. That'd be so great. That'd be worth riding over, right?
No.
Okay. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What?
Today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay.
Let's talk about that. Pranks gone wrong. We'd like to talk about this. Happens occasionally when you're just playing an innocent prank, and then somebody gets an eye put out.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's not fun for anybody anymore.
Maybe you're ringing a doorbell and running away, and you get shot. Maybe that's what happens.
With a shotgun. Perhaps. Right. Yeah, I had a gun put to my head one time.
That does not surprise me.
Well, I was toilet papering.
It's Kevin.
Yeah, but I was toilet papering.
I know. It's you.
That was your defense? I was toilet papering?
Yes, that was my defense. I mean, the guy put a gun to my head.
Right. Well, you were toilet papering.
Yes. Right. If I'd thrown a gum wrapper on the sidewalk, would it have taken me out?
Hard to say.
Maybe.
I'm saying a little overkill on that one. We've got tickets for Foo Fighters for you today.
Great.
We have a brand new Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices. We have Adam McKay, who is Will Ferrell's partner. We're going to talk to him today. Very excited about that. He's a very funny guy. Chinese sex robots are about to hit the market.
Oh, all right.
One that's about to be sent to a little island in Washington State.
I wonder who's going to order the first, or has ordered the first, I should say.
Are they Chinese or are they Japanese?
I believe they're Chinese.
Oh, okay. I'm going to wait for the Japanese model.
Why?
Because Japanese girls are hotter than Chinese girls.
Okay.
I want to get a realistic choice. I'm going to get a realistic one, so I might as well wait for my flavor.
Okay. All right. Good. We have Stacia Randall, and this girl is not hot.
Well,
she set the record for piercings at one time, and the number's 3,100.
Wow. That makes her hot, right?
So that many piercings at once, not in her lifetime, but at one sitting.
Right.
She's a goer, guys.
I bet she is.
Yeah, but you'd get cut everywhere you went.
Yes, you would.
So you wouldn't want to do that.
I mean, I guess you just ask why, and then you just sit down and listen. I guess that's the extent of that interview, because how do you explain that? How do you explain the compulsion to put over 3,000 pieces of metal through your skin?
I don't know. It looks like the biggest case of, hey, look at me, I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And how much does that hurt?
And at 3,000, don't you go, I'm good.
Yeah,
that's enough. I don't need another 100.
I think at 30.
Well, I think at 3.
I don't know. I don't understand that kind of thing either, but she's got the record, people.
All right.
You know who doesn't? Us. We don't have that record.
Well, you got some time off this weekend. Why don't you go out and break it?
All right, I will try and do that. We will take a quick break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Got some Linkin Park on the way for you. Also, Radiohead, Foo Fighters, and a Weezer song we haven't played in a while. Coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The door is opening. The man is stepping up to the microphone. The headphones are going on, and soon the voice of Ralph Garman will come over your radio with a look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, nothing much, man.
Some good play-by-play. I like it.
Elizabeth Hurley is almost single, everybody. Get out your resumes. You want to get on the list to be dating Elizabeth Hurley?
Now, she married a dude, didn't she, after she broke up with Hugh Grant?
Arun Nayar.
Oh, rich dude, right.
Rich dude. Apparently, their divorce is almost finalized. She was granted the divorce yesterday. It'll become final in 6 weeks. Judge decided the marriage was broken irretrievably. That's what they call irreconcilable differences, I guess, in the UK. And so no word on what the final settlement will be, but I guess she's going to make a couple bucks, although she's got plenty of her own money. So
yeah, she does. Does she act anymore, by the way? Is she ever in a movie?
She was in the Wonder Woman pilot.
Oh, that's right.
She played the villain in the Wonder Woman TV series. So. Hugh Hefner, as we talked about yesterday, really picked one when he got engaged to Crystal Harris.
Maybe a bit of a misstep. A
woman who not only broke his heart and ditched him the week of their wedding, but also apparently was trying to make some money off of ditching him at the altar, because the marriage was going to be filmed for a Lifetime television TV special. She told the network that for $500,000, she would say no on the altar and ditch him there on camera and then do an exclusive interview afterwards. But apparently, they weren't willing to pay her $500,000, so she just left the week before. Here's the thing, and I didn't realize this yesterday, but tomorrow, the new issue of Playboy hits the stands with Mrs. Crystal Hefner emblazoned across the cover, and a photo layout featuring Crystal Harris.
Oh, man.
That's got to add some salt to the wounds for Hefner.
Hilarious.
If I'm Hugh Hefner, I'm sending out my troops. I'm just burning every copy of that magazine. There'll just be a hole in your collection, Playboy fans, because that issue will never see the light of day. If I had anyway, I would spend every last penny I had, whatever it took. I would just have the trucks that are shipping that issue just be blown off the road with missiles before I'd let that get on the stands. Poor guy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Demi Moore's quite the understanding wife. This week, her husband, Ashton Kutcher, was shooting an ad for a Brazilian clothing line with Victoria's Secret supermodel Alessandra Ambrosio.
Yes.
There you go.
That was his day's work. For the photo shoot, Ashton was wearing a t-shirt and sports coat. She was nude.
All right.
Oh, come on.
All righty then.
Always a gentleman, onlookers say Ashton looked away while stylists got her ready in between shots and just focused on his Starbucks and his cell phone while she was getting
made
out.
How often does that happen?
Yeah, but you don't want to be caught gawking. You don't want to be that guy.
I don't mind being that guy.
Well, we know you don't like being that guy on many levels.
All right.
I've never seen anything Ashton Kutcher's ever done except for That 70s Show, and I thought he was fine on that show. I thought he played that character well. But whenever I see him in those stupid camera commercials, he seems like a terrible actor, Ralph. Or is he just being really, really goofy on purpose?
He's not good. He's not a good actor. I think he is being goofy on purpose. I think he's actually goofy. In real life, but he's not a particularly good actor.
And in Punk'd, you liked that show in spite of him. It was so annoying the way he would set it up.
He punked people.
Ugh.
And they were punked.
And he'd wear his hat sideways. He'd go, so we're gonna... I said, well, stop yelling. Hey, take it easy.
It was from Creative Mind of Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
Today's your only day to get yourself to Cleveland, to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so you can have a one-on-one encounter with Lady Gaga's famous meat dress.
Oh, that's worth it.
Yeah. It's being shown as part of the museum's Women Who Rock Vision, Passion, and Power exhibit. Exhibit highlights firsts, bests, and celebrated women who moved rock and roll music through American culture and forward. Gaga wore, of course, the meat dress on the famous 2010 MTV Video Music Awards. No word on how the dress was preserved.
That's what I was wondering.
At this time, but people who work at the museum, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum, say the dress smells better than Gaga does on any given day. So you could just let it rot and you'd still be okay. Movie news. Several reboots in the works. Do we need another Jurassic Park movie? Steven Spielberg thinks maybe we do.
Oh, no.
Hollywood
Spielberg's
Reporter.
Involved. They're going to go in alien ships up to the...
No, that was Lucas who put that together for Indiana Jones.
No, I know. Yeah, right.
Hollywood Reporter says Spielberg is meeting with a writer and talking about a reboot of the Jurassic Park movie franchise. Steven directed the first two films and was the producer of the third. Thinks maybe it's time for another Jurassic Park.
This one surprised you guys that I've never seen any of them, but are
what?
They... What? Are they good? I mean, is this the kind of franchise you'd be excited to see?
First two were really good.
Yeah. The third one was made by me, or Omar. It's really bad. But I would be interested in seeing it again. It was pretty fascinating.
I think that the interesting part of that film has been explored and covered. I don't really think they can impress you again. We
like
never saw
dinosaurs
move like that before. It really was groundbreaking. In terms of special effects and just what they did with that, and I think we're all sort of used to it now. So I don't know if it would have the same impact, but if Spielberg has a hand in it, usually it's pretty successful. And more movie news, Russell Crowe has been brought on board to play Superman's Kryptonian dad, Jor-El, in the upcoming Superman reboot, Man of Steel. Of course, Jor-El was famously played by Marlon Brando in the Christopher Reeve movies. So looks like his family's in place. We've got Kevin Costner playing his Earthbound dad, Pa Kent. Diane Lane will be his Earth mother. Amy Adams will be Lois Lane. And, of course, Henry Cavill stars as Superman. And they're making a new album from the band Yes.
All right.
The legendary progressive rock supergroup out of England will release its first studio album in 10 years. Here's the reason it's interesting. It's called Fly From Here. It is the first band's first studio album in 10 years. But the lead singer is a guy named Benoit David. And
what? What happened to John Anderson?
John Anderson is not participating.
Wow. It's not yes for my money, then.
He is the new lead singer, has been touring with the band for some time, but he used to be in a Yes tribute band in Montreal. That's Sweet. How they found him.
Sweet.
It's one of those stories of the guy who did an impression of the original guy and sounds so much like him, the band hired him on.
That's amazing. So I love that.
He will be the lead singer of the new Yes.
It's kind of like I was tuning around. I saw Journey on TV.
They've done it.
And they've got a tiny little Filipino guy that sounds exactly like the original singer.
Yeah.
Hey, go see Kevin and Bean's Rockstar, man. Same story exactly.
That's right. It happened originally with Judas Priest. I guess that's where it all started.
That's crazy.
Celebrity birthdays, John Cho.
Hey!
From Star Trek and Harold and Kumar. He's 39 years old. Eddie Cibrian, who was famously married to Leanne Rimes now, I guess. They had a big to-do when they met on the set of a movie. He is also the star of the upcoming The Playboy Club. He is 38 years old. Missy Peregrim, one of my favorites. She was on Reaper, and she stars in a new movie called Rookie Blue, a TV series rather called Rookie Blue. She's 29. Olivia Hack, actress, is 28 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6 minutes after 6 o'clock.
This is a tough room. That's all I'm saying.
This is not a tough room.
Will of Bad Animal Voice is also Foo Fighters tickets for you and Pranks Gone Wrong, all coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. We had a little bit of a debate off-air in the office this week as Gene Simmons and his longtime live-in girlfriend, Gene Simmons, a bass player, one of the lead singers of the band Kiss, still one of the biggest touring bands in the world, by the way, which is remarkable considering how long it has been since they had a hit record. But they've been doing some touring, he and his girlfriend, Shannon Tweed, former Playmate of the Year, to promote the new season of Family Jewels, their longtime reality TV show on A&E. And we were debating whether they were really feuding, because in one case, Shannon Tweed walked off the interview and they're being super snarky to each other and Shannon Tweed looks really pissed, or if this is just all drumming up the publicity because it's season 8 or something of the TV show. Hey, let's get some interest and make people think there's some real drama in this relationship. Where'd you come down on that, Kevin, as you saw some of the various clips?
Totally 100% put on fake.
Really?
That would be my guess. Just because he's Gene Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does for a living is to promote and to drum up business and interest, and I just don't buy
it. He's a marketing man. That's what
yes.
he is.
And they've been living that way for, what, 30 years?
28 years they've been together,
okay,
yeah.
And so now all of a sudden, I just don't buy it.
Lisa, how about you? What do you think?
My argument was a lot of people quit after 30 years, but given what Gene Simmons does for a living, I don't buy it either.
Well, I certainly had my doubts too, but the show finally premiered this week, and I watched episode one. And I don't know what's going on now, because this season is probably shot. So who knows? Maybe they're playing it up for the cameras now. But watching episode one of Family Jewels this season, it looks like real trouble. I mean, it really does look like she has just about had it up to here. You know, the kids are gone. They're out of the house now, and she's looking at her future. So what happens basically that was the straw that broke the camel's back in this case is that Gene Simmons has some sort of a business meeting, some sort of investment deal with a guy. And what he does is he brings along, every time he has a business meeting, he gets a bunch of 20-something big-boobed blonde chicks to go to the meeting with him. He looks at it as a business strategy because that makes the guys feel good. It makes them distracted a little bit. It gets them to agree to whatever Gene wants because they're just trying to impress these girls, right?
We need to start doing that, Bean.
Yes, we do. So Shannon Tweed's essentially at home alone while Gene's off at this meeting. And then the pictures, of course, of Gene walking out of the restaurant with these bimbos on his arm show up on TMZ. And that's where we pick up the action of the Family Jewels as Gene comes home and Shannon is there with her computer open, ready to show him, you know, what she's seen and find out what the real deal is.
Have fun.
Yeah, we went to a restaurant and had a good business meeting.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
By the way, don't you get the sense that every time Gene Simmons walks in the door, it's how much trouble am I going to be in? What did I do this time? And what does she know about?
See, I think that's true of you and me, but to me it seems like they've lived this way for so long that that probably doesn't happen. But I'm just
guessing.
But you
don't think there's ever a point at which she might get tired of it, though?
Maybe.
I mean, that's what it's looking like. Well, listen, you'll see what her complaints are. And she seems very genuine. And I've seen Shannon Tweed in movies, and I don't think she's this good an actress to pull this off.
Well, that could be.
Okay. Well.
What are you doing?
I was just going to show you the fun you had and want you to know how much fun I had enjoying the photos. And I'm
Yeah, but that's just, we just went for...
I know, we just. I'm sick of hearing it, sick of seeing it, and I'm sick of living with it.
I have no idea. Listen, I never met these girls before. They were there.
Jeannie, please don't play me for a fool. I don't pretend that you don't know who they were, and I don't pretend that you didn't invite them, or they're not in your book, or the numbers aren't in there, or that you didn't invite them to impress somebody, or that you don't know who they are.
Well,
I'm not an idiot.
It was a business dinner, and yeah. There was a guy there I wanted to impress.
Right.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Why are you the go-to guy that has to bring girls? Why aren't you better than that now? You're 61 years old. Why are you that guy?
What?
What the is that? You have more credibility than that. You don't need girls. I think you have some problems that you need to address.
Now, I think what she's saying is you're Gene Simmons of the rock band Kiss.
Right.
You've got a body of work. You've got credibility. Why are you still hiring bimbos to go out there and make you look good?
Because
when you know that it's hurtful for me, stop it. I think that's where she's at.
But I think where I'm at is he's Gene Simmons. That's what he's always done.
I know, but he's a businessman. He's a legitimate businessman. If I were meeting him to do something and he walked in with those girls, I would just think, are we doing something real here or is this just you flashing around?
It's like, him flashing
around.
If this
is real business.
Does he have a real side?
But he does have real business.
Yeah.
I think she's saying, you don't need to do that anymore, and it's hurtful to me because you're on TMZ with bimbos on your arm walking out of another club or another restaurant or another bar or another concert while I'm at home being ignored.
Right,
I think that's where she's at.
I have no idea what the truth is, but I'm not buying it. I mean, I'm really not.
Really?
No.
You don't think there could come a breaking point for her? Even, I mean, look, the last kid just went away to college.
Right.
That's a breaking point
in
a parent's life where, okay, now what? Now it's just me and the spouse for the rest of our lives. Is this the life I want to live with this guy?
But
okay, you're looking at the rest of your life, maybe this isn't what you want anymore.
Maybe this isn't what you've wanted for the last how many years?
People change, Kevin.
What's wrong with her?
People change.
And
not Gene Simmons, by the way.
No, but Shannon. That's the problem. Not Gene Simmons.
A lot of people keep it together for the kids, too. A lot of people do. A lot of people, when the kids get out of the house, that's when I'm going to deal with this. Let's hear a little bit more, again, from Family Jewels, the Gene Simmons reality show.
It doesn't matter what you say to me right now. It only matters what you do. I don't care what you did in the past. I don't care that you grew up poor. So did I. I don't care. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm now in the second phase of my life. The kids are gone. I have to make decisions on whether I want to continue doing this way or I want to find a better way.
You can't find a better way. This is the only way.
You can't find a better way. This is the only way. Now, Gene Simmons may not be getting the message. It may not be sinking in. So he hates it, but he agrees to go to therapy. And the first therapy appointment that he's supposed to go to, by the way, he lies to Shannon Tweed and says, even though it's an ultimatum, you have to get help, he lies to her and says he went to therapy, and instead he went to the movies. So he does go eventually to therapy, and it's very difficult for a guy like him to open up and be real, because you know what a clown he is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
It's almost impossible to get him to say one real thing when he's in there.
Exactly. And that's the problem that the therapist has, is, look, you're not a reality TV star in here, you're not a rock star in here. I need to hear from you, the real guy. Let's just hear one more clip. This is Gene on the couch with the therapist talking about what's going on.
After all these years, do you really still need all those women around you to look important, to feel important?
And by the way, this is all Gene Simmons wants in his life, is another woman yelling at him about running around with lots of chicks.
No.
As you said, Kevin, that's what Gene Simmons does.
He's done it for 61 years. The answer to that question is yes.
Well, let's see what he says.
I guess not, but it's very impressive.
Have you thought about how this affects Shannon and your kids?
By the way, I guess I don't need it, but it's very impressive.
Very
Again,
impressive.
That's Gene Simmons. That's him in a nutshell, right?
Has to be hurtful.
So when your kids see you with all these women, what do you think they think? I mean, what is that like for them?
Well, they obviously think it's not Mom.
Yeah. You're not comfortable talking about this, are you? I would imagine that the dad they know is a different guy than the guy sitting there with a posse full of women. I don't know that you need those women anymore.
Well, he's got to be tired of hearing that by now. But the episode does end with him coming home from therapy, and Shannon is gone. She has packed her bag. She is gone. There's a note on the bed. See you later. So that's where we'll pick it up next week, I guess, and find out what happens. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they work this thing out and they're happy and young and in love and on a second honeymoon by the time the season ends, and all this publicity they're doing this week is totally an act. That's very, very possible. But what I saw on the show, the debut show this week, looks pretty real. I'll tell you that.
So they sold it. Whether it's real or not, they sold it.
Yeah. It makes me interested. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. That's BS. Come on now. It's Gene Simmons. How are you going to ask Gene Simmons?
Mr. BS.
How are you going to ask Gene Simmons, do you need hot women? Come on. Answer? Yeah.
Hey, party people, thanks a lot for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Really, if we could just fast forward through today's show and get right to Weird Al's appearance on tomorrow's show, I'd be fine, but I guess I have to survive the hours between now and then first.
No, we need to first talk about you being a creep and a weirdo.
What?
And, and how you're very, very, very excited about this new Chinese company that has a new sex robot.
Oh, the sex robot. You know, here my whole thing. I just hope to live long enough to have my two dreams in life fulfilled. One, they're both technology-based. One is the jetpack, obviously. I want the jetpack. And two is I want the love sex robot because who needs a woman around when you can get a robot that's realistic? That's what we've been waiting for, right?
Everyone. No, this might surprise you, but real women... Most guys would consider way better than a robot.
No, you can't turn them off. That's the problem I've had with them. This is a 5'5" robot consisting of realistic skin and muscles. It's made of silicone gel on an advanced medical skeleton. It talks to you. It does things that you don't even want to hear about on the radio. But we asked producer Alex to line somebody up for us from the Love Sex Company. And I guess we have the manager of the place, Lee Juan, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, sir.
Lee Chen.
Hi, Lee Chen.
Lee Chen. I'm sorry. I apologize. I do not speak Chinese. My bad. How are you, sir?
Why you what? I'm busy.
Well, producer Alex spoke with you about the radio station in America. We wanted to talk about your robot.
Is that the girl, the real woman?
Yeah.
I got no time for real women.
I'm with you. So, what's going on? Tell us about the new sex robot.
I'm working hard in my laboratory building, Love Sex Robot.
Uh-huh.
Hey, she's the best thing ever, better than anything you ever have in America, Round Eye.
I think you could be right. I'm very excited about what I've heard, but I don't think we've heard about all of the features. All we know is the basics.
Oh, she's so lovely. She do everything for you. She give you lots of love, and by love, I mean sex.
Right, sure. So robots don't say no, first of all.
That's right. She's always in the mood, if you know what I mean. And if she's not in the mood, you'll punch her right in the head.
What?
And I guess you can get away with that because she's not a real person.
Exactly. She's a robot.
Oh.
Yay! Yeah.
This silicone gel, this is lifelike? It feels like real flesh?
It does. It has same consistency as human flesh. And she built on a metal skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have electronics inside her to make the muscles, if you will. Change her position, and certain parts of her body will shake and vibrate, and the next thing you know, oh, my God.
Wait, the sex robot shakes?
Certain parts of her body will shake lifelike.
All right.
Oh, okay.
She don't have, a seizure or something, and that's what you're saying.
Listen, I don't know. I'm just asking.
Don't have epilepsy.
Just trying to get
what
some clarification.
What the hell wrong with you, right?
Trying to get some clarification.
Hey, could I get a replacement Kevin robot? Is that something you can build for me?
We already got one. It's too smart. We're going to have to take out some electronic brain if you want Kevin.
How dare you.
All right. So here's what's interesting about your robot, Mr. Schwain, is that it is programmed to recognize the owner's face and can hold conversations with the owner in
that's
a number
right.
of languages. That's very
right.
smart.
Yes. That's why it's the next generation of love robot because, you know, you get any blow-up doll. Or a real doll you just have sex with like, you know, it's like a giant, like, sex toy.
Right.
But this robot actually recognizes you when you come home from work, end of day, say, oh, I'm so tired. It's like, oh, poor baby, you are the best person ever. And she knows what you like and who you are.
Yeah.
She's like, genius robot.
A robot you can have a conversation with if you want to, but don't have to. That's
no,
pretty sweet.
You have to. You can say, oh, shut up, woman! And then she go, boom, and turn right off.
Oh, that's the best deal ever. Hey, can she cook?
Not you can't cock. What are you, a moron?
Seriously. Well, I'm just asking. I don't know what else. I mean, it sounds like she can do more than previous robots. I wonder how far you...
We live in Star Trek world. This is just a robot lady. Is that enough that you know who your face is and talk to you?
I'm just getting excited about the possibilities.
I think I make her kill you. Maybe that's the next step. I'm gonna murder you.
Does she do laundry?
Can she drive? Yeah, exactly. That's where she can drive. But I got an order here from one of you round eye. Which one you order one?
I'm guessing that's me because I
come on.
I got paperwork here.
Okay.
Say Bane. I'm sorry, I don't speak English.
Right.
Let's move on. Can we move to the order? Yes,
anyway,
Beyond Bexstor. Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, I've been working on your love that for you.
Oh, great.
So it's almost ready to go. I program in face, and I tell her all about you. I program all the information. You filled out an application.
Okay.
Oh, did I? Okay.
Yeah. Her name is Leanne. You want to meet her?
Oh, this is exciting.
Yes. Yes. She's right there to talk?
First meeting.
Yeah, I set her up, and now she's ready to say hello to you.
Very exciting.
I had no idea. This is very exciting.
Leanne, say hello to your new boyfriend, lover, master, Beyond Bexstor.
Oh, no way. He's too disgusting, even for robots.
Oh,
what?
Oh, she'd reject you.
That hurts. That really hurts.
You're rejected by a robot. You are messed up mofo.
That's a new low point. We got Foo Fighters tickets you can win later on today's Kevin and Bean show, and also some big Foo Fighters news that our producer Alex says we're not allowed to even tease, not allowed to even hint, can't tell you anything because she's uptight.
You just did. You just teased it. You just hinted at it.
Yeah, he did all that.
I said we had exciting Foo Fighters news.
That's a tease, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's not indicating at all what it is.
Christ's sake.
No, I wonder what it could be.
Who knows?
No one knows what that news could be about a band. There's no way to tell.
There's no way to tell. Anyway, she's uptight. That's my point. So that's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, how Kevin had a gun put to his head one time. We'll tell that story after the top of the hour. First, though, it's time for the Showbiz Beat Rough.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got some tickets to give away to a very cool event. It is a major retrospective of the art of Tim Burton.
Yay!
Legendary feature film director and writer and designer. He's a very talented guy. Not only is he a great director, but he originally started as an artist and an animator. All of his art will be on display, as well as artistic things he developed for his films, like Nightmare on Elm Street and Alice in Wonderland and Batman. And they'll have costumes. They're going to have set pieces. If you're a fan of Tim Burton's, you're not going to want to miss this retrospective that's being held at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, or LACMA, as it's known around here. It's on display through October 31st. If you'd like to go, 5 winners right now will get a pair of tickets to go see the Tim Burton Experience at LACMO. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First 5 callers get a pair of tickets.
I can't go to that because I'm LACMA intolerant.
File.
Come on. That was okay. Oh, Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat's playing you right off.
File and Keyboard Cat.
Cat really has no power, though. Keyboard Cat used to be able to play people off. Cat's playing her heart out right here. Can't get Bean off. That's the problem. Charlie Sheen will not be able to air his dirty laundry in public as he wanted to. He wanted to have a trial against the Warner Brothers for firing him from 2 and a Half Men. However, a judge yesterday said it's going to have to be settled through arbitration, as the contract stated between Sheen and Warner Brothers. So no going public, no making big statements to the press, no histrionics, just him in a room with a lawyer and behind closed doors. He must be so depressed. Because Charlie likes to be out there in the public.
Sure does.
He does.
He sure is winning, isn't he?
He's winning a lot.
He is still a top of mind. Everyone is talking about Charlie Sheen and his tiger's blood and his winning and his goddesses. He is just as hot now as he was. Oh, wait a minute.
If you see him
Everyone's
lately,
forgotten.
He looks like a homeless dude. You'd see him in front of a 7-Eleven and toss him a buck.
Yeah. It's so funny.
It's really sad.
When it all happened, he was announcing his tour and winning and talking to every news outlet every day. I think he really thought he was going to be a superstar. This was the next level for him. He was going to jettison him into a whole other level.
This is the next level for him.
That's right. It's not the level he expected, but this is the one he will be getting. He doesn't exist anymore. He's not even on the radar.
No.
And if you think about him, it's sort of like a pathetic, remember that disaster?
He's a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's over.
It is.
Remember when our station here tried to get us to start using Charlie Sheenisms in all of our promotions and stuff?
You mean 3 weeks after it's happened?
Because they thought it was so white hot.
Yeah.
I'm glad we said no to
that. Maybe 4 weeks.
Maybe even 4 weeks.
I can't remember.
Yes, Virginia, there will be a sequel to The Expendables. Finally. Sylvester Stallone has told us when the next Expendables will open. Next August. Circle your calendars.
Next August, all right.
Next August, Expendables 2. No official word on casting yet, but rumor has it that Sylvester is extending a hand of friendship to his buddy Arnold Schwarzenegger, giving him a little love if he wants to come be in his movie. He's welcome. So Arnie had a tiny cameo in the first film, may have a larger role in this one. Help rehabilitate his image a little bit, perhaps.
Yeah.
This may be a spoiler alert question for folks who maybe didn't see the first Expendables, but did a lot of them survive to come back for the sequel, Ralph?
Some did, some didn't.
Okay. More did than didn't.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. And you guys generally enjoyed that film.
I liked it.
It was very fun.
It's it's fun, and it's exactly what you think it is. It's not better than you think it is.
No, it's sort of a tribute.
I liked it.
Homage to the action films of the 90s, and all those guys certainly star in there. So I think he's going to try to get the few guys he missed, perhaps, from that genre in the second one.
Like, I bet Steven Seagal has come around now. He sees what a big hit the first one was.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, a lot of those guys who said no, the first pass. May decide to take him up on his offer. Sandra Bullock. She's filming a new movie called Gravity. She is asking producers to investigate the converted church where she's been staying in London. That's been in her housing there. Word is she can't get any sleep because she says the place is haunted.
All right.
It's haunted!
I'm sorry, I wasn't ready. Will you say that again, please, Ralph?
She's asking producers to look into the place where she's sleeping because she believes the place is haunted. She's convinced something or someone is lurking around while she's trying to sleep. That person's wearing a Nazi uniform, too. Driving a motorcycle.
I don't think so.
Very strange. Doesn't know what's going on. It's a weird ghost. And just last hour, I talked about the fact that it gets a little bit more embarrassing for Hugh Hefner tomorrow. That's when the new issue of Playboy hits the stands.
Oh.
And on the cover, emblazoned across the top of the Playboy cover, is Mrs. Crystal Hefner, it announces. Crystal Harris, his fiance, is on the cover. Of course, she famously broke up with Hefner this week, the week of their wedding. They're supposed
to get
married.
No class.
Supposed to get married on Saturday. Didn't happen. And I said, how embarrassing to have your magazine with the cover of the girl who busted up with you on the cover with her name being declared as your wife,
right,
when she's not.
Right.
Well, Hefner is taking steps. I suggested that he blow all the trucks that are trucking those issues to newsstands everywhere off the road with missiles.
Right.
He's going a little bit more tactful way.
Oh.
He's slapping a sticker on every cover that says, runaway bride on top of her. So at least he's acknowledging the fact that
things
didn't work.
This doesn't make him look bad at all.
No,
this
it
is
doesn't.
All
no.
her
no.
just being horrible.
And if you follow Hef on the Twitter or not, he has been very vocal and open about the fact that he's getting a lot of support and love from ex-girlfriends and the other playmates and stuff. So I think this is
he needs to be comforted.
He's just done Hef a world.
Best thing that could happen to him. Yes.
Hey, he's the victim here. I don't think anybody blames him.
Absolutely not. Somebody, and I won't talk about them.
Talk about
in specifics, but someone said to me yesterday, a young woman said that he deserved this for all the years of exploitation that he did upon women throughout his career and lifetime. This is this was his comeuppance.
Is somebody that told you that? Do they know behind the scenes details?
No, or this just is just their interpretation of the facts.
Some
sort of karmic backlash, if you will. But I answered and said he never took photos of someone, for example, and said, "Oh, I love you. You're my girlfriend. These are just for us." And then tried to, then publish them in the magazine to make money off them. He's always been very sort of upfront about the exchange and what the girls got in exchange for being in the magazine and what his lifestyle was. He seemed to be very upfront.
Yeah, I don't think that was a surprise to anyone.
Not very duplicitous. So
how fat was this friend of yours who is this wrong? Right? I mean, seriously, what's she got against Playmates?
Today's celebrity birthdays: actor John Cho. From Star Trek and the Harold and Kumar movies, he's 39 years old. Eddie Cibrian, talented actor who will be in the Playboy Club, speaking of Playboy, a new series on NBC this fall. He is 38. Missy Peregrim, who is in Reaper. She's got a new TV series called Rookie Blue. She's 29 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for tuning in. By the way, word came out about 10 minutes ago that Representative Wiener is resigning his congressional seat, if you haven't heard that yet. You guys think that's a good idea? You think he was? You think he had to do it?
Well,
think he could have held on much longer?
I'm sorry he did it.
You wish he wouldn't have?
Yeah, I think the people who live in his district should make that decision.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, except for now he's unemployed with a baby on the way. Way to go, Lisa. Nice job.
What'd I do?
Way to go. But now he can also continue to email pictures. So
that's right. He's out of congressman, right?
He's got that.
At least he didn't get shot in the back, like the subject of our next story here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, Kevin, I thought of you when I saw this story because a group of kids in a little town in Kentucky were playing Ding Dong Ditch. Now, this is the very popular pastime where you run up to somebody's doorbell, you ring the doorbell, and then you just turn and run like hell.
Oh, nothing better when you're a kid.
Because then you hide behind the tree and you watch the people open the door. And they're so confused because, wait a minute, I heard the doorbell ringing. Now there's nobody there. How did that happen?
And then you laugh way too much. Like, for some reason, that's so funny.
And then you know what you do? You wait just long enough for the person to close the door, go back in, sit back down on the couch, and start watching TV again, and then you ring the doorbell again. Am I right?
Woo-hoo!
Now, this won't surprise you that I never did that.
No, of course not.
I never left flaming dog poop on anybody's steps. I never toilet papered anybody's trees. I never shaving creamed anybody's car windows. I never did any of that stuff. But the reason the Ding Dong Ditch is in the news is because this, how old was he? 12 years old, was running away from the house when the guy got to the door and shot him with a shotgun in the back. He's in the hospital in stable condition with collapsed lungs. The homeowner is being charged with attempted murder. Now, that does seem like a little bit of overreaction. As annoying as it is to have your doorbell ring and have nobody there, have it just be a prank, you start shooting at the people doing it. That seems like maybe too much, right?
Perhaps an overreaction. The guy's 56. He's going to spend how long in jail now?
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, throw something at him. I mean, you know, that can't be proven. You don't shoot him with a gun. What's up
with
that?
Run after him, catch him, and call their parents. I mean, there's other ways you can go. But I said I thought of you when I saw this story. Do you ever have any close calls in the pranks that you were pulling?
People are dumb. Or paranoid or something. When I was in, I don't know, I was a freshman in high school or something, we were toilet papering our basketball coach's house. And we had toilet paper rolls in our hand, mm-hmm. and there was toilet paper in the trees. And I didn't see anyone come out, but I felt the cold steel of a pistol against the side of my head. And it was the neighbor. He put a
It wasn't even his house?
No. He put a gun to my head.
Oh, my God.
And he said, "What are you doing?"
You thought at the time, that's a dumb question.
In this
situation, what are you doing? It's not a question that needs to be asked.
I did think that. And 13, 14-year-old Kevin also got upset because A-hole has a gun to my head over this.
Uh-huh.
So, like, now I'm outraged.
Yeah.
I say, I'm toilet papering. See the toilet paper in my hand? Like, I start mouthing off to the guy.
Oh,
because
God, Kevin.
It was just a reaction because what the F is going on that he's going to put a gun to my head? It still didn't occur to me that he might pull it, but he put a gun to my head and he was very, very, very upset. And it took a long time for me to say, how about if I put down the toilet paper, you put down the gun, and I'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? And eventually he calmed down a little bit. But I don't know who comes out of their house and with a gun.
That's unbelievable.
And it was in Phoenix where I was growing up. It was not, I don't know. It was just one of the most bizarre things that's ever happened to me. Having a great time and then gun to the head. Not
was
so fun.
Was there ever any, by the way, we're going to take your calls if you had any kind of childhood prank. I guess it didn't even have to be childhood, right? Just something that you thought was an innocent prank that somehow went horribly wrong and perhaps you got, you know, shot at or injured or somehow in trouble. We want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. Was there ever any follow-up between you and that guy? I mean, did you ever find... But, I mean, your parents didn't go to him and go, hey, what up with putting a gun to my kid's head?
I don't know that I told my parents that story.
Oh, I see.
I'm not sure that ever got to them.
Now, you do understand that it was inappropriate what he did, but you were in the wrong with what you
did.
No,
I was in the
right.
You
started it, right? You do understand he wouldn't have come out and put a gun to your head if you hadn't been toilet paper in the neighborhood,
I'm not positive, first of all. But second of all, this was our basketball coach, and he was a really young guy. And he would have thought it was funny. And It's not like I was doing it to a total stranger. This guy got me back, by the way, later because he had a big butt, our coach did. So we used to take this house.
And he cannot lie?
This is how creative I am and how, you know, very intelligent I am. We went and bought hamburger buns. His nickname was Buns. And we got up on his house and we were covering his house in buns.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw us and he called the police. And we got pulled over and we were laying out on the ground. Because he said, someone's trying to break into my house. And he knew it was us. So that was a total burn.
Your parents should have never let you leave the house.
No, but that was funny because he knew that's what would happen. And then they contacted him again. He goes, no, you know what? Oh, I do know them. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to press charges.
God.
And moved on. But the guy with the gun, not so much.
What do you suppose that was about? Why do you suppose he so overreacted to that?
I don't know.
Because it was obvious what was going on. It didn't look like you were trying to light a bomb or anything that. It was obvious that it was toilet paper.
And we hadn't
just
started. We hadn't just started either.
Right.
It was half. I don't know unless, like... He's had problems in the neighborhood. He's been ripped off or something. He's had break-ins. I don't know. It's hard to put myself in that mindset.
That's amazing.
But to say, what are you doing? I was like, what is it? And all of a sudden, I'm mouthy. And then I look back on it later and I go, what a dumbass.
Yeah.
I'm mouthing off to the guy with the gun. But I was really angry that he was asking what I was doing, A, and B, had a gun to my head.
Hey, you're lucky, by the way, that it happened at that point in your life when people could still understand what you were trying to say.
That's true. Because
if it happened now, they'd be like, what? What are you saying to me?
He just pulled the trigger.
Let's take one call right now before the break, and then we'll come back with the rest at 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Rich. Rich is on line 3 talking about pranks gone wrong, pranks that you found yourself in way, way more serious trouble than you anticipated based on what it is you were doing. Like Kevin with the gun for toilet paper. Hey, Rich, thanks for calling, man. What happened?
Some friends and I decided to try the old pastime of cow tipping.
That's good fun. As a cow owner, boo.
That's good fun because cows sleep standing up.
The cows, the groundskeeper or whoever came out, we started a run. I heard a shotgun blast.
Sweet.
And immediately felt a stinging in my back and primarily my butt.
He shot
because
you?
Because he shot me with a 12-gauge shell full of rock salt.
Oh, my God.
You sort of had that coming.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Okay. Did you still get away? You didn't end up getting arrested or anything like that? You just hightailed it out of there?
I got away by the help of my friends who dragged me away because I was screaming, oh, my God, I've been shot, who were telling me, no, it's rock salt, don't worry about it. Unfortunately, I got to lay in the back seat on my stomach on the way home because
Sweet.
I couldn't sit down.
Sweet.
Oh, man.
Good times.
And it's exactly what you're talking about, Kevin. One second you're having the time of your life, it's youthful exuberance, and the next second, oh, my God, what's happening now?
I have buckshot in my ass.
Exactly. Rich, thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Looks like we have some great calls. We got room to include yours, too. We'll talk to you right after this on the Kevin. Foo Fighters tickets you can win next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. And later in the show, we'll talk to the woman who set the new Guinness Book of World Records for most piercings in a single setting. And by the way, it wasn't 20, it wasn't 100, it wasn't 1,000. It was over 3,000 piercings at one
sexy.
Time.
Sexy. That's sexy.
Right now, though, we're talking to Kevin's people at 1-800-520-1067. You're the ones who are out there, toilet papering or soaping windows or leaving flaming dog poop on the doorstep, and then it turned horribly wrong. Pranks gone wrong is what we're talking about here today. Why don't we start with, let's start with Chris, who had an innocent enough gag going on, and then the police got involved. Chris, line 3, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Oh, hey. Actually, I'm not a dude.
Really?
A friend of mine was going to college out in Orange County, and on a weekend we thought it would be fun to just have a squirt gun fight with our super soakers down the corridors and hide in empty classrooms.
Right.
And we packed up a backpack, went onto campus, and we started our little battle, and we were getting into it. And then all of a sudden, four cops bust out into the hallway, all of them fully armed, pointing guns at us, made us get down on the ground.
Sweet.
We were all frisked because apparently somebody had called in a weapons on campus report for neon orange super soakers.
Wow. How I can't imagine why the authorities would be concerned about somebody appearing to walk around with weapons in backpacks on a school campus. That never goes badly.
No, but if you see it's a neon super soaker.
Obviously not weapons.
Wow.
You must be hot. That's why they frisked you.
So once they realized it was just a water fight, they just let you go and said, that's fine, we're cool?
Well, first we all had to be interviewed. They took our statements. We had to give them our IDs and information. And after that, they threatened us to keep on the good side of the law. And then we were free to go.
How
keep
about
on the
that?
Good side of the law? Squirt guns,
Chris.
By the way, on the good side of the law, if I might just point that out.
I was shocked that there was a woman in this call-in topic. Everyone else is a dude, and that's what I expected, because this is a dude thing.
Well,
I don't think there are very many women lighting poop on fire. Do you, Lisa? Did your friends do that?
Nope.
Let's try Damien. Damien's on line one. Yeah, his name's Damien, by the way. That tells you all you need to know about Kevin's people.
Hey, Damien.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What'd you do?
Yeah, a friend's mom took us over to teepee a friend's house at a New Year's Eve party. We were all about 10 or 11, and everything went well. We were finishing up the job, and my cousin thought it'd be a good idea to stick a hose through the guy's mailbox, which went through his front door.
Oh, no.
And turn it on.
Really?
And he was out of town for 3 days.
What a dumbass. So,
the water ran in the guy's house for 3 days. That could be hundreds of thousands of dollars of damage.
Oh, yeah. My aunt had to pay for it.
What a dumbass that guy is.
That's a
step beyond toilet paper. And so what happened? What happened with you guys and your friend?
Well, you know what? No cops were involved. He just had his mom had to come out of the pocket about 10 grand.
Ouch.
Oh, my God.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Richard, line six, Kevin. Just like you, he ended up with a gun pointed at him.
All right. Richard.
Good morning.
Hi there. How'd you get a gun pointed at your head?
I was about 12 years old. It was late at night on Halloween, and we were helping the neighbors out by taking the pumpkins off their porch and introducing them to the street.
That's nice of you.
And, it was fun. And about two blocks down the line, some lady came after us like a bat out of bad places with waving a big stainless steel pistol at the window of her car, talking about how her husband was a cop and we were all going to jail.
Did she shoot at you or just swing the gun around?
No, she was just waving the gun around and generally acting displeased.
Wow.
Yeah. And the thing about somebody, and I haven't been in this experience like you guys have, but the thing about somebody waving a gun around is that already seems crazy, and you don't really want to push it not knowing how much crazier it's about to get.
Yeah.
And it was a pumpkin.
Yeah, right. That's the point. It's clearly you're throwing pumpkins in the... introducing pumpkins to the street.
As you said. Thank you for the call, Richard. Let's try Sean. Here's a prank I haven't heard of, but apparently went very poorly for Sean on line 7. Hey, man, what's going on? Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay, so when I was a kid, me and a friend, just around dusk, we would go outside and we'd act like we were pulling a rope across the street.
Age old trick.
Like cars would slow down and stuff like that, but this particular time, the lady slammed on the brakes, lost control, and like got in an accident right in front of us.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Did you run?
No, I couldn't run because we lived on the house, the only house on the street.
Oh, wow.
Kevin will tell you, you're supposed to do this in somebody else's neighborhood, not in your own.
Some kids tried.
I know.
Some kids tried that on me where they were trying to fake pull the rope across the street, and they really weren't selling it. So I pulled over and I said, look, guys, if you expect cars to get... scared, you got to really like lean into it and make it look like there's something there.
So you're coaching them.
Oh, we were good.
Like
we
a week
were
ago.
I've never heard of this one before. So what generally happens
it's
when
stupid,
you try
dude.
That? What does the car usually do? This lady crashed. That's not what most do,
the
right?
Car usually just keeps driving because it's stupid. You're trying to make it look like you've got this rope across the street and they right. can't see it. It never works.
Well, it worked for Sean.
She got an accident. Good work.
Kevin was whining a few minutes ago about how now that hockey is over and the Bruins won the Stanley Cup last night and the NBA Finals are over and Dallas won that, now it's mostly just baseball.
Well, soccer.
Well, you have soccer. That's
true. But baseball, I wish I liked, because that's all it is. And by the way, SportsCenter now is also full-time baseball, pretty much.
Right, exactly. And there's a little bit of baseball news of interest. Two things going on with the Los Angeles Dodgers, by the way, who, as you know, have had a very rocky couple of years because of the problems with their ownership and the couple that owns them, the court's getting a divorce. Two things are happening. One is there's a move underfoot, and I don't think this is going to develop any steam, but there are some people who are trying to make it so that the fans can buy the Dodgers, rather than it being sold from Frank McCourt to another millionaire owner, that the fans would own it. And I guess that's what they do in Green Bay with the Packers, right? The fans own the team.
Is that the only other professional team that's owned by the fans, I think?
That I'm aware of, yes. That I'm aware of. And they do still have people who are in high positions who, you know, make the decisions and the control, you know, and whatnot, but the fans own it. And that's a movement underfoot right now, is the fans might own the Dodgers. And the other thing is, we keep hearing all these stories about, no matter how rich Frank McCourt is, that the team is financially just in dire straits. I mean, really, really strapped, really like pinching pennies at this point. And that's why it's going to hurt them a lot that they have to write a check to Manny Ramirez, who, of course, hasn't played for the Dodgers for over a year, for $8.3 million. They've got to give him a check this week, basically.
Is this one of those deferred payment things where they said, oh, we'll give you a certain amount now and then? So he's not even playing for him, and they still have to write him $8.5 million check.
He had a $42 million contract that he signed before the 2009 season. And, of course, then they traded him to the White Sox. He wasn't even playing with the Dodgers when he retired. I think he ended up – didn't he end up retiring in Tampa or someplace? But, the Dodgers still owe him money, and they've got to give him an $8.3 million check. Which, by the way, nice check to get for a guy who's not – you know, is not working and just hanging out.
They also have to give him an $8.3 million check next year.
Oh, yes, they do.
God.
And then it turns out the year after that.
Well, we wanted to find out what that must be like for our old friend Manny Ramirez, and he joins us now on the Kevin Abid Show. Hi, Manny. What's going on?
All right. Manny Ramirez, have a horn.
Yes, you do have a horn.
And so much money.
How are you, Manny?
Oh, I'm great.
You're not even playing baseball
anymore,
right?
No, I don't do nothing. I wear diapers.
You were diapers.
Right. I sit on my couch. I was Fringe. I love Fringe.
Fringe is good. Uh-huh.
With Joshua Jackson.
Wait. And I go, do you understand Fringe?
I don't know what's going on. I just see a little pretty lady, her face changing to something else.
Right.
And then Joshua Jackson, he come along. Right. And he said, I remember him from Dawson Creek. He was a little boy. Now he's a big boy on TV.
Right.
And Manny Ramirez wore a diaper. And I go, poo-poo. I don't have to get up. I go, poo-poo my pan. And the orderly come along, and they say, hey, Manny Ramirez, you shouldn't poo-poo in the pan. You big boy. And I was like, hey, Doyer, pay me $8 million to poo in my pants and wash Fringe. Hooray.
Well, but I got to be honest.
By the
I don't
way,
care.
I have a horn.
You have a horn.
Kevin Bean, Mr. Bean, Mr.
Yes.
Kevin,
what?
And
what?
Mr. Beer Glass, pretty lady.
Beer mug, yes, Lisa?
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
All right.
All right. Oh, I thought you were going to say something here. Look, I don't care how much money the Dodgers are giving me. I still am not pooping in my pants. It's still worth it for me, for my personal comfort, to get up and go ahead and walk into the bathroom.
Arar, I'm a scorpion.
What does that mean? You're not a scorpion. You mean you're a Scorpio? Or are you talking about your astrological
no,
sign?
No, I mean like Michael Schenker. Rock you like a hurricane.
You're not in the band The Scorpions.
I have so much money. I'm in The Scorpions. I'm Glenn Beck.
You're not Glenn Beck either.
Hey, pretty lady.
Yes.
Are you a Jew?
No.
I have a dreidel.
What kind of question is that?
Spin that mother effer. That's what you do with it. Hey, you put on your funny hat, you say, dreidel, dreidel, spin. Dreidel, dreidel, hopskin baha hula.
What's happening right now? I don't know.
I have horn and a lot of money. I own the Dodgers.
You don't, but you might.
You don't own the Dodgers.
I own the Dodgers. Mr. McCorba called me.
What's his name?
Mr. McCorba. He called me. He said, Manny Ramirez, I owe you $8 million this year. I owe you $8 million next year. Mr. McCourt, I have negative money. You know what? Just take the whole team. Now Dodgers are mine.
Oh, I wish
and
you
we're
would be
moving to Corpus Christi.
Why would you move to Corpus Christi?
My favorite town in Korea.
It's not in Korea. It's in Texas, but it doesn't make any sense to move the team from Los Angeles. This is where the fans.
The other day, I was talking to my alligator.
Right.
His name is James. His name is Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
And he said, Madam Mirrors, why don't you become a wizard like me? I'm Harry Potter. I'm a wizard. I have a magic wand. And I said, you know what? That's a good idea. I want an ejection seat, too, because I was watching James Bond. James Bond was in an airplane, and then he said, hey, look like missiles are coming. I better get out of this airplane. Boom. Fly away. Right. I said, I need one of those.
Why do you need either of those?
Because.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
Because I was thinking about my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you're talking alligator.
I thought to myself, hey. Hey, Mr. Alligator, you have a friend, and he is a Komodo dragon, and his name is Alan Combs. And he walked up to me.
What's happening right now?
And he said, Manny Ramirez, you may have problem in your life. More money, more problem, just like puppies say. And he said, you know what? Don't worry about it, because I'll be there before the next teardrop falls.
Okay. You're not making any sense at all.
That was
now,
a Freddie Fender joke for Bean only. Mr. Gavin, hey, Mr. Gavin, yes. Do you ever think there'd be a joke that only Bean got?
No.
There you go. I have a horn.
Not one that you can tell. Thank you.
We're going to talk to the hilarious Adam McKay coming up after the top of the hour. You don't know.
Nope.
That's Corolla. You don't know him, but you know his work because he has been a writer and director and producer on a bunch of stuff, especially that his friend Will Ferrell has been in everything from Step Brothers to Talladega Nights to Anchorman, the other guys. I mean, the guy was working on Funny or Die. He was working for Saturday Night Live. Unbelievable comedy resume. And he's ticked off about something. I don't really understand what he's ticked off about, but we'll give him a chance to explain on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beef. On the Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
More importantly, he was one of the bums who had an orgy in Will Ferrell's car and the other guys.
That's true.
That's his claim to fame.
That's true.
You can't beat a bum orgy.
That's right.
Hey, we're going to have an orgy in this guy's car.
It was a Prius. Wasn't it a Prius?
It was a Prius. It was a red Prius.
Sweet.
Yeah. Tampon on wheels. They called it. Today's Diva du Jour Award goes to Christina Aguilera. Apparently, she has become quite the pain in the ass over there on The Voice. They should have known this was coming.
She's a pain in the ass on the air on The Voice.
That can't be. Is a she? Surprise.
Yeah, she really is. She's kind of. I don't know. She's not very pleasant, and she really mouths off to the other judges like they're really having a serious competition. Yeah. And yeah,
she's a diva, and now that the show's a hit, she's become even more so. Apparently, she will not greet the audience before a taping of the show. Apparently, all the other judges come out and say hi to everyone, sit down and get in their place and everything before the show begins. She won't do that.
Okay.
She waits until just before they start filming, and then she'll come out on the stage and sit in her chair.
Okay.
She's got a team of helpers on the sidelines who do everything for her. That they wear a special uniform, black t-shirts emblazoned with Team Extina on them.
No, they don't.
That's what her staff wears.
That doesn't happen.
They do everything for her, including hold her straw in her drink while she sips from it.
What?
She doesn't touch the glass or the straw. They come up and they hold the straw to her lips and she'll drink from the straw.
Now, these are all the things we expected Jennifer Lopez to do on American Idol. And apparently she couldn't have been any easier to get along with it. Everybody loved her. But now Christina is doing all of it.
Christina is...
But how do you get from where...
The monster we feared.
How do you get from wherever you are in life, I don't care who you are, what you're doing, to I can't hold my own straw.
Just feed me my drink.
How do you get to that? I would never even think of that. I need to start doing that.
Yeah, I would like you to start doing that.
Let's get our interns to see this.
I'm going to stick that straw right in your eye if you do that. You will be blind in 2 days.
And rightfully so.
Like, he wouldn't do it again. That's you'll be thinking on the second day. The next thing, I'll plunge a straw into your other good eye.
And let's all, I mean, we're all thinking it too. And she's too fat to be on TV and dressed like she dresses.
Oh, come on.
No. You should have seen some of the stuff she wears.
I think she looks pretty
good. She really is.
She looks pretty good.
I think she looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, this straw thing's a deal breaker for me.
It's unbelievable. Justin Timberlake is talking about Justin Bieber. In the new issue of Playboy magazine, Justin is interviewed and is asked his thoughts about Bieber and his advice, since Justin was kind of in that same place not too long ago. He said the only way Justin's going to be able to get past his teen idol years and branch off into other things is to make a plan right now. He said someone's got to look out for him because the teen idol thing burns brightly, but not for too long, and it could be all over before he knows it.
He has to be Justin Timberlake is the answer to that question.
Yeah, you got to.
Can't really just.
And you got to be talented, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Justin Timberlake does everything.
And does it well.
Yeah.
He's a gifted fella.
Now, he's the blueprint of how to go from being a teen idol to an adult that's respected. I mean, he really handled it beautifully.
I don't know. I think Leif Garrett really is the blueprint.
Well, there you go.
You know, Justin just sort of followed in his footsteps. Wear a bandana and become a heroin addict. That's my blueprint for Justin Bieber. I hope that's going to happen. We'll wait and see. Good news for geeks everywhere. Russell Crowe has signed on to become Superman's dad, Jor-El, in the upcoming Superman movie, Man of Steel. It's going to be awesome.
Superman doesn't do what he wants, he'll throw a phone at his head. Looks like Russell's going to get a good payday for this, too. I don't know how much they're paying him, but the numbers are quite good. It's not a big role, but it is showy, so Russell's glad to be part of a big potential franchise. We'll see what happens. Marlon Brando, of course, famously played Jor-El in the Christopher Reeve movie. And at the time, Marlon Brando was the highest paid actor ever for that performance.
Is that right?
He got paid $1 million. Can
that's
you imagine?
Outrageous money.
An actor being paid $1 million?
Oh, that's crazy.
And now there are actors who work out their contracts with the back-end deal, and they're walking away with, what, $40 million for a movie sometimes?
Sometimes, depending on the star. And today's your only chance. If you want to see it, you have to get on a plane and go to Cleveland right now. Today's the only day that Lady Gaga's famous meat dress will be on display.
Is it running out of its end date? Is it getting a little...
is it expired?
A little smelly?
I don't know why it's only being shown one day. One day. But it's at the Women Who Rock exhibit at the museum, which features the best, first, and most celebrated women in rock and roll music, according to the
I
museum.
Like meat.
She wore it, of course, on the MTV Music Video Awards, Video Music Awards, rather, at in the 2010 presentation. And they say it has been preserved, but no one has expressed how exactly. I don't know how it's preserved.
Is meat on the menu this week?
Maybe they made it jerky. Maybe they jerkied it.
Oh, there you go.
Dehydrated. Keeps a lot longer that time.
Let's go grab some of that meat.
Come check me out this weekend, Saturday night at 10 p.m. at the John Lovitz Comedy Club at City Walk in Universal Studios. Hollywood Babylon is the name of the show. I do it every week at 10 p.m. Kevin Smith won't be there this weekend, but I will be co-hosting with a very, very funny, pretty, sexy lady named Catherine Reitman. She will be my co-host on this show. She is
good move.
She is funny and talented, and it's about time we had some estrogen in that show because it got a little masculine there for
us. You guys are champions.
Yes, we
are. Good move. You got to go hot chick. You have to.
You can go babbleonralph.com for details and to buy tickets. Today's celebrity birthdays, John Cho.
Hey!
From Star Trek, played Mr. Sulu in the reboot. And Harold Kumar, of course, 39 years old today. Eddie Cibrian is 38. And Missy Peregrine, who Bean did not bell earlier today, but we've rectified that.
I think I was thinking of a different actress. I'm not sure I knew who you meant here. I didn't watch. You know, I didn't watch Reaper.
She's
remember, I was
way
afraid,
super
afraid of that show.
Don't fear the Reaper.
Oh,
man, I'm going to punch you in the head.
She's 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We got Foo Fighters tickets you can win in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we have some Foo Fighters news. This time tomorrow, I can't stress enough, you don't want to miss our interview with Weird Al Yankovic. Al is going to be here tomorrow.
Yay!
That's weird because you haven't sold that yet this week. I'm surprised you haven't brought it up.
I couldn't be more excited. His new album, The Alpocalypse, is coming out on Tuesday, so I'm looking forward to that. Let's bring Adam McKay onto the program. I don't think we've seen Mr. McKay since Comic-Con last year. He was there with his friend Will Ferrell. I think they were talking about the movie they made called The Other Guys. Adam, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I am good. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Great to talk to you. Of course, also one of the brains behind Funny or Die. I can't believe how much stuff you have been putting up on Funny or Die lately. It's turning into like a full-time television network over there.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like every day I walk through work and there's some bizarre celebrity going around and they're shooting constantly. And it's amazing.
Tell me about Between Two Ferns while we're talking about that particular project, because Zach Galifianakis is a genius. Do you have anything to do with that, or he just comes in and with the ideas, or how does that work?
You know, honestly, all we did was provide the stage for it, but he just comes in with the ideas and shoots them. That's it. And, I love that. That's one of my favorites as well. And we have a constant debate about was Sean Penn really close to hitting him, or is that one of the greatest acting performances ever?
I thought he was funny as hell. You think he may have been serious?
I think it got tense for like a second.
Those of you who didn't see that, Zach asked him about Haiti and then asked him if it had a Six Flags, and then he said no, and he's like, let's move on.
We'll talk about it.
That was sweet.
I just love when John Hamm came back to get his car keys after 2 years. That was one of the funniest things. All right, the reason Adam is on today, and this is weird. This is kind of a zag because we have Adam on and we yuck it up and we talk about his funny movies and his funny TV shows. But it's a little bit serious, but also a very creative thing that you've got going on. The website is publicdomainprotestsong.com, which is a terrible domain name. But it also expresses exactly what you'll find, a public domain protest song site. That's what it is. Adam, what's going on and why is this necessary?
Well, basically, you know, we a bunch of friends of mine from Austin in this band called English Teeth, and I hang out with them sometimes, and I'm always saying, why isn't there any good new protest music? Like, whatever happened to the God Save the Queens and the, you know, I mean, the last one we heard was American Idiot, really. Green Day had a big hit with that, and Rage Against the Machine. I was like, you know, I love that music. Where is it? So finally, my friends, just to shut me up, said, look, if you write the lyrics, come down here, we'll record it. So I went down there, and we made a 4-song EP.
Sweet.
And rather than, you know, kind of put it out there on iTunes and try and make some money, we thought, look, this stuff is about how people are getting ripped off by the banks and the corporations, and people are out of work. Let's just put it out there for free. And then we thought, wait, that's kind of cool, and there's no way we wrote the best protest songs, so let's open it up to everyone so anyone can put their music on there and anyone can download it. And that's kind of what happened, and it's starting to really gain momentum. And, you know, the songs we wrote are pretty cool, but like I said, by no means are they the final words, so we just wanted to hear other people's stuff, and people are posting great stuff.
Now,
so.
But they're also posting really bad stuff, right?
I think there's a few doozies on there.
Now, Adam, you've obviously spent a lot of time thinking about this, and you probably, I don't know how old you are, but you grew up in the era where it was not uncommon to hear hit records on the radio that were written as a protest to what was going on in the war at Vietnam and other things that were happening. Why do you think it is that we're not hearing more of those kinds of songs anymore? Is part of it just that there's so much less rock on the radio anymore, and they're not going to deal with a subject like that in dance or pop music?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. You saw for a long time the record companies, you know, all got bought up by corporations, and it got very kind of money-making. So it was easier to sell songs about sex and to make them poppier. And but I think ultimately now, I think there's a big, you know, there's kind of an awakening, dare I use a word that dramatic. But people are starting to kind of figure stuff out. You've seen the protests in Wisconsin and everything that's starting to go on around the country. And I think you're going to see a return to it, because when people want it, they get it. You know, I just think we had a big party going for like 30 years, you know, bubble economics, and we were having a blast. Don't get me wrong, I had fun too, but I think now people kind of need this music again, and, you know, songs like Fortunate Son by CCR, these amazing songs that were, you know, kind of changed the way people thought, and more importantly, rallied people. I think you're going to just see a return to it. So
maybe you guys haven't heard Lady Gaga's song about Bernie Madoff. Maybe you should pay attention.
I don't believe that's what that's about. I don't think there's a Bernie Madoff song.
I would love that.
It's interesting. You're right. On the one hand, you do look out and you see 100,000 people marching around in Madison, you know, protesting what was going on in the government there in Wisconsin. But I also do get a general feeling among young people that it's bigger than them and there's nothing they can do about it, and standing up and protesting or writing a song is not really going to change anything because everything's so out of whack and out of control. And I think there's a lot of hopelessness out there as well, along with some people who are still, you know, flying the flag.
I got to say, you know, and that was part of the way I felt too. And making this music, like, I'll sometimes hear some horrible news about, you know, oh my God, you know, the unemployment numbers have gotten worse. And I'll pop this music in and it kind of focuses you and it goes, oh yeah, wait a minute, this isn't that complicated. It's like, you know, it's almost like Weight Watchers. It's like when you eat that waffle and that chicken at like 1 a.m, you're like, oh my God, I've just destroyed myself. And then you type in the points, you're like, well, it's not that bad. Like, it kind of focuses you a little bit and it makes you feel a little better and it rallies you. And you're like, oh, this isn't that tricky. The banks are ripping us off and they pay for Congress. Let's not vote those guys in anymore. Like,
at the very least, it lets you get it off your chest.
You know what I mean? At the least.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with you being serious, Adam. I like you being wacky. I'm sorry.
I know.
I like you as my little clown friend.
I'm still trying to think of a funny way to say raise trade tariffs.
That would be impressive if you could figure out a way to get that on American Idol. Get the kids to start singing your song about raising the tariffs.
It's true. Well, you know, by the way, this protest music, some of it gets kind of silly, too. It's not all dead serious and earnest. But I think there's a lot of different ways to do it, too. And we're doing silly ones, and we're doing ones that are a little angrier. But, God, I love my Sex Pistols, I have to say.
Right. I know. I hear you, brother. Well, listen, the reason we wanted to have you on is, A, we're a fan of yours, and B, you're a smart guy, and we think you probably are onto something that we hadn't thought about yet. And I think a lot of our listeners would be interested to know, check out the website, publicdomainprotestsong.com. If you're ticked off about something, this is a place that you can go, and there's a lot of great starter ideas. And like you said, you've got songs on there that they can manipulate and rewrite and re-sing and everything and change, and there's no copyright. It's free to them, and get it off their chest and maybe change the world a little bit, huh?
Yeah, and there's some good tunes. You know, the title song, and there's a couple other ones that are worth a listen, definitely. I've gotten addicted to a couple, and they're on regular rotation. So it's not like it's crappy stuff. It's pretty cool.
Right. Are we we're going to see you down at Comic-Con? You guys bringing anything down there this summer?
You know, we're working on a couple different things. We're about to boot up the new season of Eastbound and Down. We got
Sweet.
That going.
Love that.
Awesome.
And I could not be more excited. And then we're finishing a movie we'll probably take to Comic-Con called Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, which is a big, far-flung action comedy, sort of comedy, but mostly action with Jeremy Renner and Gemma Artigan, which is awesome.
Sweet.
Oh, that wow. sounds great. What a life you have, Adam. It's always great to have you on the Kevin Amin Show, man. We really appreciate your time.
Hey, a pleasure talking to you guys, and I appreciate you having me on for this.
Thank you. Thanks for
ahead of giving away Foo Fighters tickets for October 13th at the Forum, we have big Foo Fighters news. This is new to you right now on the Kevin Amin Show. The Foos have added a second date. The next night, October 14th at the Forum. Tickets are on sale for both show dates tomorrow,
when?
Friday,
when?
At 10 a.m. You can buy tickets for October 13th and or the 14th. The Fabulous Foo Fighters at the Fabulous Forum. So that's new news for you here on the Kevin Amin Show. If you want to win tickets to night number one, you can do that right now at 1-800-520-1067. I'm looking ahead. Is this game really called what I've heard it's called?
Would you mind if I just did a disclaimer? We've had to do a lot of games. We've had to come up with a lot of games. Not right. all of them are gold. Some are.
How dare be we're not say, pluck, is this we're not game really the hits. Called what
I we're not plucking the hits again, are we?
But okay. I'm just saying, we don't want to do giveaways the same way every time, so we try to come up with something creative.
This game makes clucking the hits look like Jeopardy, by the way, when it comes to the history of games.
All right, this is... Would you like to give us the official title, or would you like me to play the
let's
theme?
Let's let the creator of the game give the official title. Bean?
All right.
Kevin, what's it called? You're the one who came up with this.
Words That Rhyme with Groll.
Rhymes with Groll is the name of the name
rhymes
of the game.
Rhymes with Groll. That's as good as we could do, but listen to the theme.
Rhymes with Groll, Groll. Rhymes with Groll, 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 Groll. Rhymes with Groll, Groll. Rhymes with Groll, 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 Groll.
Yeah!
Rhymes with, rhymes with Groll.
Yeah!
What's happening? Rhymes with Groll, 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 Groll.
Yeah!
Hosted by Bob Dole.
Yeah!
What?
It's time to play Rhymes with Groll.
Yeah!
Down there.
Former senator from the great state of Kansas, Bob Dole, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Dole.
Bob Dole thinks that's the worst intro he's ever heard.
Isn't Bob Dole around 90 by now?
Bob Dole is getting up there. Yeah,
you're pretty old.
But I'm still a spry, and I still take the Viagra.
All right.
Okay,
good.
All right. So listen, Mr. Dole, as I understand the game, you're going to be asking the listeners a question one by one on the phones. The answer will rhyme with Groll.
That's right. Rhymes with Groll. Great game. Great idea for a game.
Rhymes with grow, 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 grow.
Bob Dole loves it.
Okay. And then if they get it right, of course, they go into the drawing. And then Lisa says, who wins tickets to go see the Foos?
I will not be shaking the hand of the winner, though.
Well, with your good hand, right. Yeah. Let's talk to Greg on line one to kind of get us going here on the Kevin Amin Show. Hi, Greg. Welcome to Rhymes with Groll. You ready to play?
Oh, yeah.
Greg, the answer to the question rhymes with Groll. All right?
Perfect.
All right. All right. When a slutty girl has daddy issues, she usually ends up making a living by working on this.
A pole?
Pole. Nicely done. That's right. Pole.
Nicely done.
You know what pole rhymes with? Groll.
Uh-huh.
Groll. Yeah, sure does.
That's right. All right.
Bob Knoll says it rhymes.
One for one. Let's try Victor. Hey, Victor. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
How's it going?
Very good. Thank you. How are you?
Good.
All right. Victor, the name of this small digging animal is also another term for a double agent. I'll give you a hint. The answer rhymes with Groll.
A mole.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Bob Dole says congratulations.
Does he?
Yeah.
Does Bob Dole?
Does.
Dennis is on line three. Hey, Mr. Dole, how's your beautiful wife? What's her name? Elizabeth?
Libby.
Libby. You guys still together? Still happy?
Libby's amazing. She just had a vaginal rejuvenation.
I'm sorry I asked.
Yeah, we're very, very happy with it around the house.
Okay. If you don't mind, we'll move on to the game. Dennis, right. Hi.
Hi, morning. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi.
Dennis, here's your question. This is the technical term for a baby horse.
Do you have any tips?
Once again,
for him?
The hint is that the answer rhymes with Groll.
Because Dave Groll is the guy in the Foo Fighters, Bob. I don't know if you picked that up or not, but that's why we're playing this
game.
All right,
that was Taylor Hawkins.
That's the other guy.
Rhymes with Hawkins. We'll be playing tomorrow.
Technical term for a baby horse. What do you say there, Dennis?
don't know, I guess pony?
Yes.
Pony.
Yes.
Pony.
Yeah.
Pony.
Pony does roll all right.
Well, the answer is foal.
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 It's not as common a word as pony.
No, it's a tough question, but we gave you rhymes with groll already. We don't feel bad about making the questions a little tougher.
All right, let's go to Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We are good. Steve, this fairy tale creature is known for living under bridges and sometimes eating goats. Fairy tale creature lives under bridges, sometimes eats goats. Oh, by the way, rhymes with groll.
Rhymes with groll. Right?
What is troll?
You don't have to ask in the form of
You're right, Alex.
You're right. You're weird, but you're right.
Jesse is up next. Hey, Senator, why are you holding that pencil? You can put that down.
No, I can't. It keeps people from trying to shake my bad hand.
Oh, is that what it is? Because you lost it in the war. I got you.
Yeah, well, I didn't lose it. It's here.
He hasn't put that pen down in 30 years. All right. Let's go to Jesse. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Here's your question. This is a point scored in polo, lacrosse, or handball?
Goal?
Nicely done.
Goal is correct. Yes.
How do you do it? Hold on.
Yeah. Rhymes with groll.
Rusher desk. Let's try Joe, line six. Hi, Joe. Welcome to... I'm sorry, Omar, does he have a jingle? What's the name of the game again?
Rhymes with grow, 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 grow.
That's right. Go ahead, Senator.
I think the Foo should cover that in concert.
I'm guessing they won't.
Who are we talking to?
We are talking to Joe.
Joe, here's your question. Some believe when you die, this thing goes to heaven and that beast doesn't have one.
Soul.
There you. Hey, you got that a little quick for my liking. I don't mind telling you.
The first part of the question is questionable. The second part is a fact.
That was the giveaway right there.
All right.
Yeah, Bob Dole says you're a soulless bastard.
Got time for Fernando next, line seven. Fernando, you're on with the Senator. Good luck.
What's up?
Fernando, you have to pay this to use certain bridges and or roads.
Toll.
Rhymes with groll.
Right.
And one more. Jasmine will be our final contestant. Jasmine, welcome.
Oh, hello.
It's our first chick. You are a chick, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
All right, here's your question.
You got a breath, too.
This fuel source is mined from the ground and is actually carbonized plants.
Coal?
Coal is correct. Rhymes with groll.
Rhymes with grow, 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 grow.
Well, I think, did we have a clean sweep? We had like one guy missed. Everybody else got in,
full,
right?
Full didn't go so well for a guy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Greg, Victor, Steve, Jesse, Joe, Fernando, Jasmine, all in the running. Lisa May, who's going to see the Foo Fighters on their first of two nights at the Forum?
The winner is Joe.
Yeah!
Joe. Bob Dole. What's my name?
Bob Dole.
Bob Dole says congratulations.
Thank you.
Can we play the intro again? Do you guys mind?
No,
this is so good.
It's a classic.
Come on now. And we just made the announcement. If you missed it, there is a second Foo Fighter show added October 14th at the Forum. Tickets for both shows go on sale at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Rhymes with grow, grow. Rhymes with grow, 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 grow. Rhymes with grow, grow. Rhymes with grow, 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 grow.
Yeah!
Rhymes with grow.
Yeah!
Rhymes with Bob Dole.
Yeah!
It's time to play Rhymes with Grohl.
Yeah! This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I promise no more Rhymes with Grohl on today's show, but in about a half an hour or so, we're going to be talking to the young lady, the beautiful young flower in Las Vegas, who got 3,100 piercings at one time in a piercing salon.
Yummy.
So that's good times. Hey, what do
Let's
I hear
talk to
there,
her now. Let's talk to her now. How about that? Why don't we call her up now? I'm sure she's
like
just
getting the wheel. She's
getting the wheel already.
Yeah, why don't you put the wheel away?
She's not ready.
I'm sure she's
a half
ready.
Hour from now.
Yeah, she's busy. She's got a lot to do in
she
her
does.
Life.
She does. She has a lot to do.
Lay around.
So we're going to do the wheel about animal voices because then...
Eat Triscuits and get pierced. That's all she does all morning.
Way too many stories involving animals. We need more details.
You don't get any details.
We do. We always get details. You walk out before we get the details.
Oh, God, this is horrible.
That's what happens every time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, we have the...
All right.
deal. That was on. See? Yeah.
I don't know what just happened. All right, we have the herpes horses.
Yeah. Oh. We have a horse that herpes, see?
We have the heavy.
They're in big trouble, see?
The heavy metal let me see if I can read this. The heavy metal Aussie great white shark.
Okay.
The slutty koala.
Oh, a lot of Australians represented on the wheel.
The wooliest sheep in heaven.
Oh, F you.
Also, I believe in New Zealand, that one, by the way.
The post office hating Alaskan eagle. That's just for being.
I
don't see that ever happening. Cookie the ticklish penguin.
Oh, you know how much I love Cookie.
That's his ringtone, by the way.
What? It is.
Yes, it's Bean's ringtone.
Oh.
That little penguin going,
ha! Oh, is this really week over yet?
No. The rabid Philly beaver.
Okay.
The saddest wombat that needs hugs.
Aw.
And finally, the Finnish Hitler mocking dog.
And you want to talk to any of these animals?
Are you kidding? Really? Any of them, yeah.
What happened to the dog that can't take a hint? Did he get bumped from the wheel? We're not even...
He finally took
the
hint.
I think he took a hint
and got off the wheel.
All right, let's spin the wheel and find out who
we're
going to talk to. Let's spin the wheel.
No, see? Let's not spin the wheel.
Hey, it's the chlamydia having koala.
How about that?
Yeah! Chances.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You
I'm leaving.
Don't leave.
No, for don't God go, Ralph. Sakes, you got to hear about this. What's happening today? All right. Yes, this is another story out of Australia. They got a lot of bad things happening. There were animals down there. The koala, by the way, a huge tourist attraction. Lots of people go to Australia just because they want to have a chance to hang out and get their picture taken with a koala.
Did you know they were slutty? Did you know koalas
I did not know they were slutty, no. What's going on with them? Why do you say that?
The population has been cut down to about 20% of what it was, and the koalas have chlamydia.
What's going on there?
What?
Well, we asked producer Alex to light us up somebody, but nobody bothered to put a name up on the screen, so we'll just go to the phones and say, hey, Kevin and Bean here, who are we talking to?
You're talking to a koala, see?
Is it a 1920s koala?
No, my name's Muggsy. Muggsy the koala. Living in a tree, eating eucalyptus, see? That's what we do, koalas. Yeah, see? We're a lot more dangerous than people give us credit for, see? I carry heat. I pack a gas, see?
Muggsy, some estimates say that koalas could go extinct in less than 30 years, largely because of chlamydia outbreaks.
Well, try and get me, see? Come at me. I'm ready for you, you mugs. Come on. Try to rub out Muggsy, will you? You'll pay the price, I say.
We're just saying chlamydia might be wiping you out. Maybe you weren't such a whore.
Well, listen, anybody can get chlamydia. The girl told me she was safe, see? Next thing I know, we're making sweet, sweet love, and then I got the drip, see? It's not my fault. The koala lied. Some bitches lie, see?
Well, bitches be crazy. That is the motto of the program. Listen, I just didn't know koalas were slutty. I thought you were the kind of animal that, you know, you have occasional sex, you mate with the same koala over and over again, but apparently you guys are just having nothing but sex parties every night.
You ever see a condom for a koala?
No.
What the hell are we supposed to do there?
No. You don't have sex? Come at me, you mug.
I'll
what was that?
Out.
Why do you have a gun?
Because I'm dangerous, see? Mugs and the koala is dangerous. Okay. Instead of more dangerous than a bear trapped in a tree, see? Come at me, you mug. You'll never take me alive. I'm top of the world.
Who are you shooting? Who are you shooting?
I'm shooting at the cops. They'll never take me alive,
you
coppers.
Mean, the coppers?
Yeah. Yeah, they'll never get muggy, see?
Isn't it a bigger story that you can carry a weapon and speak English rather than that you have chlamydia?
You're the one that's on the wheel. What do I know?
Not the most pleasant of noises.
Ow. Ow.
Hello,
stop.
Need a new battery.
It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:53.
Ralph Garman.
Ah!
Time for the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin Bean Show, as we do every hour about this time. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about some passes to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Bad Teacher?
Happens
at the Sony Pictures lot Thursday, June the 23rd. It's in theaters everywhere Friday the 24th, but you'll get to see it before anybody else if you're lucky enough to be one of the first callers at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through will win a pair of passes to the very special advanced screening of Bad Teacher, starring Cameron Diaz and Justin Timberlake, Jason Segel. Great cast. Looks very, very funny. So you can check that out. I'm very excited.
I found out, you know, we're doing the Hollywood Babylon show in Las Vegas in August.
Right.
We're doing it the 12th and 13th, I think it is, Friday and Saturday in Las Vegas.
Where in Vegas?
The Hard Rock Cafe, which is not to be confused with the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. They're two separate entities.
Oh, the restaurant out on the corner.
The restaurant on the strip.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, that's where we're doing it. And we're putting it on stage there Friday and Saturday nights. August 12th and 13th, you can go to www.cseesmod.com for all the details and to buy tickets and stuff. But the reason I'm excited is that same weekend in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Star Trek Convention.
Yeah.
Just found out the Star Trek Convention is going to be in town the same weekend I'm there.
Yeah.
That is like a double dose of happiness.
So you're like, wow, we need to change weekends then? Or
no.
What's your...
Shatner's going to be there.
Oh.
Leonard Nimoy's going to be there. Patrick Stewart's going to be there.
And nothing makes any of those guys happier than being the Star Trek cast.
I'm going to be there. And I'm going to go see them during the day, and then I'll do HBO at night. It's the greatest weekend of my life. My life.
So that's a toss-up.
Yeah, it is a toss-up. What do you do? Last night I saw Green Lantern at the premiere.
And...
We'll talk about it tomorrow during the during the movie beat. I'm just saying. Got to have something to talk about during the movie beat, right?
Green Lantern is Ralph's second favorite
superhero
costume character.
Yes.
I prefer to think of them as costume characters.
Do you?
Well, that's what they are.
They're superheroes is what they are.
Okay, all right.
They're men in tights is what they are.
Don't make me put my mask and power ring back on.
That was pretty intimidating.
Yesterday with that. Speaking of superheroes, Russell Crowe has signed on to become Jor-El, Superman's Kryptonian father in the upcoming Superman reboot, Man of Steel. In the Christopher Reeve versions, Jor-El was played by Marlon Brando. And Henry Cavill stars the Man of Steel. I'm looking very forward to this film. I think it's a great cast, good director, a lot of good stuff going for it. Can't be any worse than the last one.
Yeah, well.
That was a stiff. Feel bad for Hugh Hefner. His fiance stood him up days before their wedding. They were supposed to be married this Saturday. She broke up with him on Tuesday, I guess it was, when her new single, Club Queen, dropped. That's when...
What a piece of crap that song is, too.
Are you kidding me?
Oh,
she's got a future. God. That's why she broke up with Hef, and she couldn't be an artist and a wife at the same time.
This is K-Fed bad.
You want to hear some Club Queen?
Yes.
Give me a little taste.
I think all celebrities that make records now should be required to release their first single as an a cappella, just so we can hear whether they can sing or not.
Her
rather
voice
than just
is great.
Drown
Come
them
on.
In production.
She is gifted.
What a disaster that is.
Yeah, the sad news for Hefner is the new Playboy hits stands tomorrow, and he did it in honor of his new wife. He put on the cover Mrs. Crystal Hefner with a big photo spread of her on the cover and on inside.
Ouch.
So Hefner tweeted today the cover needed some fixing, given what happened this week, and he's slapping a big sticker on every cover that says Runaway Bride inside. So if you go to look at the pictures, that's what you see. You see
hey,
the woman
the sticker could have been a lot worse.
It could have been, yes. It would have been, had it been my sticker, but he continues to show that he's a classy, classy guy.
Bitch got no class.
He also tweeted that today, which I thought was interesting, that, look, horrible as it is, better now than after we got married, which
yeah,
he's got
so.
A point. That's what people don't seem to realize. We did the call recently about people who knew they were getting into a bad marriage on their wedding day.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you think it's going to get any better after
yeah.
the marriage? It's much
right.
better. As embarrassing and as horrible the breakup is before the wedding, it's much messier after you're already married, right?
Look, I don't blame her if she sincerely came to the realization that this was a mistake and she shouldn't marry him. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But the way this story was laid out, Ralph, as the details have become uncovered, is that she plotted this whole thing
yeah.
as just a boost to her professional career. And
right.
that's despicable.
Sounds like she was pretty cold-blooded and never had any intention really of marrying the guy. So that's rough. And she's boning Dr. Phil's son, which is inexcusable.
Right.
Doctor. Why are you breaking up a marriage?
Dr. Phil? Not a doctor.
That's true.
That's true.
As far as we know.
No, he isn't. He's not a doctor.
He's got a doctor of something.
He got his doctorate, like, revoked or something.
He's got, like, a doctor of philosophy or something, doesn't he?
I think he's no longer a doctor.
Really?
We'll have to look into that.
And this is just for Lisa, a little Broadway musical news.
Don't
I'd like to throw
feel
this
like you have to.
Her way every once in a while. Hugh Jackman.
Oh. Yes.
Is in talks to play the lead role in the movie version of the Broadway hit musical Les Miserables.
Oh, wow.
He would play Jean Valjean, the lead character of Les Miserables.
Why are you made laughing, that Kevin? A movie a bunch of times before, right?
Jean Valjean. I don't think they made a musical, a musical.
A musical version. Okay.
They made a movie of the book, Les Miserables, from Victor Hugo, but never the musical.
Not much work went into that name.
A smash hit on Broadway. Jean Valjean?
Yeah, that's why I was laughing.
You don't know Jean Valjean. He rescued the people from the revolution. I could have played Jean Valjean.
Yes, you could.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jean Cho.
Oy!
Played Sulu in the new Star Trek reboot. By the way, it looks like Star Trek's going to be delayed a little bit to get the new Star Trek movie. Production problems, it might be pushed back, which is a bummer. It's already been a couple years since we've seen a Star Trek movie.
And it was great.
That'll be all the talk at the convention that weekend.
Oh, I can't wait for the conventions. Star Trek in Vegas!
So glad I'm not there.
Kevin, come out with us.
Are you crazy?
Let's go see Shatner and Nimoy. Let's go see
them
talk.
The only way I'm doing that is if I dress up full costume Star Trek. I'll do that.
You go full Vulcan for me?
Yes.
All right. That'd be awesome. You can make fun of his photos of fat girls that he takes for that book of his.
What was that?
Harold and Kumar and Star Trek. John Cho's 39 years old today. Eddie Cibrian is 38. Missy Peregrine celebrates her 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Did I mention the great Weird Al Yankovic joins us on tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show? Have I brought that up at all?
Too many times.
Oh, really? Also, comedian D.L. Hughley and Noah Wiley tomorrow, too. Very excited to talk to our next guest. Miss Stacia Randall is on the phone from Las Vegas. We spoke about her earlier in the week. You can go to kevinandbean.com right now and see the link to the post that we put up about her adventure in Las Vegas, where she got 3,200 piercings at one time. Stacia, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
It's great to talk to you. You know, so often, that's what I love about this job. You see someone on the news and you go, what are you doing? And it's great to have the opportunity to be able to have you on the show and say, what are you doing?
I'm just having fun.
But it doesn't look like fun.
3,200 piercings, and not just like in your lifetime, but in one sitting.
Yeah.
Isn't there any other way to get into the Book of Records?
There is. I have other records planned.
You do? Okay. Yeah. All right. The most taken out at the same time?
Stacia, tell me when the idea came to you. How many piercings did you have before the other day?
Three.
You had three. Okay.
So it looks roughly the same.
Where were the three that you had?
Nipples and then nether regions.
Okay, all right.
All right, so none of the three are shown. So basically, as far as most people knew, you had none.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. And you thought, this is fun. This feels good. I like this. Hey, wait, let's overdo it now. Let's go out there and get thousands of them. I mean, was it just, did it come to you, or did you start talking to friends about something crazy that you could do, and eventually someone came up with it? I'm trying to figure out where the idea came from.
My friend Bill came up to me one night and was like, hey, let's beat the world record for most body piercings in one sitting. And I said, okay, I'll look it up.
Right. And then
I agreed to it, and I thought it was like under 1,000. And I was like, I can do under 1,000, no problem. And then I looked it up, and I'm like, 1,200. I'm like, wow, 1,200 is a lot. Okay, I'll be able to do it. And then I like contacted Guinness, and they sent me, it was 3,200.
I'm
sorry.
I'm still stuck on, 1,000. I can do that. Yeah. No problem. I mean,
the answer to your friend Bill is, great idea, you go first.
Nah, I trust Bill enough. He's a great piercer. So.
Is Bill's nickname Danger?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Tell me about that day in Las Vegas. They start piercing. The first one goes in. How much do they hurt, by the way? I don't know anything about piercing. Do you get any kind of anesthesia, local or otherwise, to help you with the pain?
Nope. Didn't take anything for it or anything. Just in case I went into shock, I'm pretty good at being able to fight myself out of shock. Oh. But I can't do it when I'm not sober. So I kept completely sober for the entire event.
Okay, so it's a needle piercing your skin. And, Kevin, I know that you're grimacing right now because you hate this.
Yeah.
It's a needle piercing your skin. The first one hurts a lot. Second one continues to hurt. Do they all hurt just as much, or does it eventually start becoming a cumulative effect and it gets worse and worse the longer it goes on?
Well, they picked the most painful spot on me to start first, which was my ankles.
Ouch. Mm.
Did right? you have and to then, do your ankles? I mean,
she didn't have to do any of this. What kind of question is that?
Well, I mean, in order to have room to do everything.
Yeah, we had to start. We had to start down low and go work our way up. And we started at the most painful spot first. But for the first, like, I'd say 500 needles and stuff, I was laughing every time a needle went in. I process pain differently than other people.
Yes, you do.
But, yeah, after we got, like, over the 1,000 mark and stuff like that, I started saying, ow, and then I started crying. And then pretty much for the last, like, 2,000 needles, I was just crying and saying, ow. But at some points and stuff like that, I was completely relaxed, no flinching or laughing or any response out of me. I told Bill, I'm like, hey, just keep going. If I stop moving and everything, it just means I'm taking a nap.
Okay.
I tell him when I was comfortable.
I think that is amazing that you were able to put yourself in the mental place where you could survive something like that. I mean, I honestly think many people would die on the table if they tried to survive what you went through. I really do.
I can see people going into shock. I've talked to people who've attempted the record before, and they have, like, gone close to shock, like, gotten vertigo and just completely, like, zoned out and had to stop, and they couldn't do it anymore. And I just went through it, took the pain as soon as it came, and I knew. I'm like, there is an end to this. If I just keep going, there is an end.
Right. Okay, so you're done. You walk out of there. Now you've got 3,200 piercings, 3,203, I guess, piercings, right? What's the rest of your life like? I mean, is this something that you get in the record book and then you pull them all out and go back to being normal, or is this something you plan to keep in your body for a long time?
Well, we waited about 45 minutes, took pictures and everything like that, and we pulled them out, actually, the day of.
Oh, so you got to put it in and take it out.
Yep, we got to put it in and take it out. It took about 2 hours to do the removal, which everyone asked me. They're like, did it hurt? And I was like, it was pretty uncomfortable pulling them out. I didn't cry or anything, but I did yell a few times.
I would have cried like a baby.
Oh, no kidding. I would have cried just watching it. I would have cried.
Here's my favorite part of the article that we are reading is the record attempt is still awaiting confirmation by the Guinness people. So if it doesn't come through, which we've had a little experience with, by the way.
Yes, we have. It sounds like Stacia has plenty of witnesses, and you probably taped the whole thing, too, I imagine.
We taped the whole thing. The whole thing actually was streamed live on doubledownradio.net.
Okay.
And you can actually go in the archives and view me getting the piercings.
Oh, my God.
The hours and hours of piercings and the removal.
Or we could do anything else.
Yes, or you could do anything
okay.
else. But we have it all online and archived and everything like that. We've got notarized witness statements. We've got plenty of pictures.
Okay, so I thought you were doing this to keep them. You just did it to set the record. Now you're back to three?
Yep, now I'm back to three.
All right.
Unbelievable. All right, Stacia, what do you have planned next? You sound like a wacky kind of girl who's not going to be satisfied with not doing something wacky.
Next record I have planned, and I actually had this planned about a year ago, and I just have to wait till everything's grown up, is most Madagascar hissing cockroaches in my mouth.
What?
Yeah.
What?
What's happening? What's happening right now?
What?
Lisa, talk to your daughter. What's going on here?
I do not understand it.
You want to do what? You want to put cockroaches in your mouth? How many?
The record right now, I think, is 16.
Yeah.
So I want to get up to, like, at least 20. I just have to wait till my babies are adults and stuff like that.
You have babies?
I have 130. Last time I counted, about 130 cockroaches. I keep them right next to my bed.
Stacia is a pro. I am moving to Las Vegas,
wow.
And I am dating and or marrying Stacia. She may be the perfect woman.
Stacia,
oh my God.
Stacia has her life mates, and they're next to her bed.
That's right.
And she's going to eat unbelievable. She's going to eat 130 of them or whatever.
I love you so much, Stacia. I'm so congratulations on the record. We'll look for you in the book. Please let us talk to you again when you get ready to do the cockroach stunt, all right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks for being on.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Now. How sexy. Right?
Right there.
What is 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 25 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up in a couple of minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you missed the announcement last hour, by the way, a new Foo Fighters concert has been added for the day after the one you already know about at the Forum October 13th. Tickets are also going on sale for a show on the 14th, and that'll be tomorrow at 10 a.m. By the way, real quick, before we get to our next guest here, what is going on in the head of a 22-year-old who's going to fill her mouth with cockroaches after she's already set the world record for piercing? What's that deal?
Look at me, I want to be famous somehow.
Yeah. Really?
Have you seen her? Because this is her only path.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's already a lot of other people knocking on the door saying, hey, how about you come do this for us?
Well, she already has a, you know, look, she seemed like a nice lady. I enjoyed talking to her. Already has a look at me job. She's a burlesque performer in Las Vegas. I mean, she already has a job where she gets up on stage and says, hey, look at me.
Well,
but what's going on where you have to go to these kind of extremes to either get attention or get a thrill? I don't know. But I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on her and following her. I can't wait to see what she does next.
She's going to be my next wife. That's all I know. It's world famous K-Rock at 26 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Who's been in better movies over the course of his career for a longer time than Al Pacino?
No one.
When you think about it, when you think about The Godfather and Serpico and Scarface and Donnie Brasco and all the way up to Ocean's 13 and movies like that, I mean, the guy's just an unbelievable actor in everything he does.
Yeah, and he's also, when he's in a bad movie, he's good.
Yes,
one of those
he's
guys.
Even good in a bad movie, right. Yeah. He's back in the news again because he was nominated for Tony. He was seen in the audience this past Sunday night. And he raised some eyebrows a little bit because Al is, he's 71 years old.
Right.
He showed up with his new girlfriend, who he lives with, by the way,
mm-hmm.
who is 40 years younger than he is.
All right.
She's
wow.
31. He's 71. And I probably don't have to tell you, she's unbelievably hot.
Yeah. What a surprise.
Man.
So even some of Al's fans, and I can't believe this in 2011, say they've lost respect for him. But let's find out what Mr. Pacino himself has to say about his new girlfriend. Hi, Al. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Oh. Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
We're good. Thank you.
Well, we're good.
I'm glad. I'm glad okay. You're doing well.
All right.
Oh.
Thank you.
Wow.
Okay.
Come on now. Good morning.
Tell me about... the beautiful Lucia Sola.
Oh, Lucia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is your name Lucia or Lucilla?
We thought you would know.
I really haven't talked with her.
Okay, all right.
Okay. That's understandable. I've seen
a lot of sex.
Right.
Come on now. We're the 31-year-old. Ooh,
And you're 71.
Yeah.
You're not having sex now, are you, Al?
No, I wish I was.
Yeah.
Okay. Rather than talking to you two fools.
How did you guys meet?
Well, I was doing a movie mm-hmm. called The Jack Kevorkian Story.
Oh, yeah, sure. Right.
And...
don't ask him to tell a story, B.
Oh, sorry, I forgot about him.
I remember.
Right.
I was on the set, and... my hair guy, and I got to give a lot of props to the hair and makeup people.
You always do.
From that movie.
Right, but...
because it made me look like Jack!
Maybe you could skip past the hair part and just talk about how you met Lucia. Or
a friend of mine, mm-hmm. paying a visit on the set.
Okay.
Oh.
And he said, I've got this hot young girl that wants to meet you.
And he said...
uh-huh.
I've got this hot young girl
who wants to meet you, right.
Wants to meet you!
Right. Okay. All right.
Oh.
And,
so I
said... oh, there's more.
Okay!
Right.
Do you find that you two have anything in common? What do you guys talk about when you're together?
Well, we do talk about some of the things we have in common.
Okay.
All right.
One is...
you don't remember just one thing that you haven't come?
We both love me.
Okay.
All right.
Which is good.
Okay. Which is good. Yeah. You live in the same house. You got that going for you.
Both use the same hair dye.
Okay.
So we can do that together.
Uh-huh.
Activity-wise.
Okay. Sounds like something to base a relationship on.
Dye our hair.
But I mean, like, does she like to go out to clubs or concerts? Do you go with her? What do you like to go to do?
I like to go to do...
who's the crazy one now?
lots of things. Uh-huh. I like to eat.
Right.
Right.
All right. So and restaurants, food. Do you, okay, you go out to
at
dinner?
At a nice
restaurant.
Restaurant.
All right. All right.
She likes
Listen,
that.
Listen, we're
I
out of time.
She likes that.
Right.
She likes that too.
And
of course
we'll
she
do it together.
Uh-huh. Do it together. There you go. Nothing but
restaurant.
Things in common.
Right.
All right.
What do you
waiter,
doing?
How about some soup? I say.
Uh-huh.
Right. We don't need
often.
The details.
What
of
kind
order.
Of soup?
Well,
don't ask any more questions. Come
I
on.
I like tomato.
Okay. Sit down. We got to go.
Nice. Gazpacho! Come
right.
on now
That's
with
good.
The cold soup.
That's good.
We wish you both
now,
the very best and much happiness.
When it's a salad course.
Right. Okay, but we really do have to hang up now.
Okay,
we got to move on.
Iceberg wedge man myself.
All right, that's not really important.
Did
but
she
we gotta,
share
come
your
on
excitement?
With the blue cheese.
Does she share right. your excitement over that? Or?
Oh, she loves a good wedge.
She does. Okay.
Who doesn't? Come
yeah.
on now. Ice
Thanks,
cold
Al.
Iceberg lettuce.
Okay. All right, Al.
Then it's time for the entree.
Okay, right. good luck to you both.
Ooh,
we got to go.
What'll it be? Pasta?
Hang it up now.
I don't know.
Hang it up.
We might have to tackle
Can
the
entree. Take a look at that menu again?
We might have to tackle the entree tomorrow.
Hey, I got an idea.
What?
This just hit me. Why don't we rape Kevin?
There you go.
Yeah.
There's a great
yeah,
idea for a change.
Hey, what?
Tired of Lisa getting all the rape. Let's spread it around the room
okay.
a little bit. Come on.
See, you take something that's just on the line.
Right.
Just right there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to step over it. And then
he doesn't
make
just
it
step,
definitely
though.
Not.
He literally runs over with a truck to
he
make sure it's far
over the line.
Yes, he really does.
Yes.
Rape me.
Okay, time for the showbiz beat now. Ralph is here. What's going on?
Charlie Sheen's not going to get the trial he wanted. Charlie was predicting the trial of the century. Him versus Warner Brothers regarding his $100 million lawsuit against his former Two and a Half Men bosses.
Do any of you care anymore?
No.
No.
All right, good.
He's dead to us.
Excellent.
He's so over and boring and dull.
Is he going to get another show or not? Because that's been the talk. Is that
he
he's
claims
gonna...
he's deep in negotiations
sure,
for another TV series that he's going to star in. He's
claimed a lot.
But we've heard that he was 85% sure he was coming back to Two and a Half Men a couple of weeks ago before they
right.
Tapped Ashton Kutcher to be the lead.
I think he
show.
Will, but he's going to have to go through that whole process of actually being honest with people and actually getting off drugs and the whole thing because he's got to get insurance.
Who would hire him?
I don't know.
Who in their right mind would take a chance?
I don't know.
Look, Two and a Half Men was an established hit. You knew that was going to work, right? Now you got to start from the ground up with a brand new project. You're going to have to ask him to act.
Yeah.
Can he act or can he just play himself?
I don't know.
You're going to give him money and then count on him to show up every day?
Yeah.
And come to work and be sober and not be an asshole to the people he works with?
That's shaky.
There is that.
It's
although I'm able to do it every day.
No, you're not, by the way. Between the two of you, you both have all of Charlie Sheen's flaws covered, by the way.
Dare you.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll get a lot of eyeballs on that first night back. There'll be a curiosity factor. What's he going to do now?
Yeah.
But you're right. There's so many elements that have to line up to make another hit show. It's pretty difficult to do when you got as many strikes against him as he does.
And his career was in the dumper before he got into Two and a Half Men. His movies were non-existent, and the ones that he was releasing weren't any good, not making any money. So it wasn't like he was on a roll.
Yeah.
This was an aberration, this hit he had.
Right.
I'm done. It's on. Bring it.
No, I'm just your done part. Let's just stop there. Turns out they will go behind doors and they will resolve this issue through arbitration, as was stated in Charlie's contract with Warner Brothers. They reserved the right that any problem they had with the studio would be resolved through arbitration behind closed doors. So Charlie won't get a chance to preen in front of the cameras and have press conferences and say winning a lot and talk about I have Zeus feet or whatever he's got these days. Know what he's rocking, but I can't get enough of this Hugh Hefner story. I'm just furious with this Crystal Harris woman.
Well, she was going to be your stepmom,
right?
If she had gone through with the wedding
now
this weekend,
breaking up the family. As you've heard, Crystal Harris was supposed to marry legendary Playboy Emperor Hugh Hefner on Saturday. He got jilted. She stood him up. She left the house. She walked away. There are a lot of stories going around that she was looking for a $500,000 deal to dump Hefner at the altar during the filming of the television show that was taking place that was going to capture the wedding for Lifetime Television. There was rumors that she is dating Dr. Phil's son, Jordan, Although she claims now they're just writing songs together. And by writing songs, she means boning.
We've heard her song. No one's writing that.
Exactly. I mentioned tomorrow the new issue of Playboy comes out, which sadly Hugh has put her on the cover of with the title Mrs. Crystal Hefner emblazoned across the cover. Now she's doing the interview circuit.
Great.
Sitting down with anyone who will listen, telling her side of the story, what happened. She was on Entertainment Tonight. Either she'll be on tonight or she was on last night. I don't know where we got this footage from, but here's a little piece of her talking to someone from E.T. And he says, look, what happened? What was the straw that broke the camel's back? What made you cancel a wedding days before the event? Here's what Crystal had to say.
Like, I can honestly say I was not the only woman in Hef's life. And I didn't feel comfortable in my heart knowing that and being able to get married to him. Because a marriage is between two people, and that's not what our relationship was.
Wait a minute. Hefner had other women in his life?
Wait a minute.
Well, she must have been outraged.
Now that I know, now that that fact has come to light, you can understand why that would be unacceptable to her. She must have found out Tuesday that he has other women in his life up there at the mansion.
Because he did seem like...
Two and a half years that she's lived there in the mansion, she probably had no clue that he was seeing other women.
He's been a one-man woman. I think that's been what he's famous for all these years.
No wonder she's outraged and could not go through with the ceremony. She found out there are other women around?
Punk-ass bitch.
Really? She couldn't come up with a better lie than that?
Yeah, she's had time to think about it. You could come up with something better than that.
Turns out I'm not the only woman in Hugh's life. When could you tell it? During the orgies in his room for the past 2.5 years?
You do not enter sign if this room's a-rockin'.
The room's not allowed. You better call a carpenter. The room's a-rockin'.
That side is intended for motor vehicles, right? Yeah. Is she getting paid for these interviews, Ralph? Do we know?
I do not know, sir, but it wouldn't surprise me. She seems to be... Oh, it's funny. She said at the end of that interview, we don't have the tape, but she goes, I just realized at the end of the day, money wasn't everything.
Oh.
She said that's why she left Hefner. Huh. Yeah. Was money everything when you're asking for half a mil? In order to dump him and then give an interview to Lifetime while the whole thing was captured on camera? Well, we'll have to wait and see how this shakes out, but I find it very... Come on, get Mel Gibson on the case. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. John Cho!
Hey!
You know him from Star Trek. He's Mr. Sulu in 2009 Star Trek reboot. Also, Harold and Kumar, 39 mm-hmm. years old today. Eddie Cibrian. By the way, see John Cho in the episode of 30 Rock where... Alec Baldwin and Elizabeth Banks are trying to get back across the border. They're in Canada. They don't want to have their baby in Canada.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there's comprehensive health care there. And it'll grow up and be a socialist if they have the baby in Canada. And John Cho plays a pot smuggler who tries to get him across the border in his van. Very funny episode. He's 39 years old today. Eddie Cibrian, who's starring in the new TV series The Playboy Club. Since we're talking about Playboy, it'll be on NBC this fall. He's 38. And Missy Peregrine. You know her from Reaper. Bean, did you watch Reaper?
I was actually afraid of that show.
Oh, Bean, don't fear the Reaper.
Felt good.
She's 29 years
old. Put it in again. Today.
You keep putting it in the file.
You can't.
He's never
going to
take it back.
I put it in every time.
But he's never going to take it back.
I don't care.
Well, you realize that is the definition of insanity, to repeat...
Oh, you!
To repeat the same action over and over again, expecting a different outcome.
Huh?
Never mind. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got D.L. Hughley in studio. Very funny comedian. And Noah Wiley is going to be talking about his project, Falling Skies.
Looking forward to that.
Very excited about that.
But
Ralph's going to tell us about the movie
Beat. I saw Green Lantern
last night.
However,
we'll talk about
Plus people who think numbers are cursed. Numbers are cursed.
Well,
so you can't.
Fears
right, whatever.
So that is tomorrow as well.
In addition to that, what else?
With a whole new program. We'll talk about Gene Simmons. We'll talk about a little more. Is that a fake or what's going on with that?
Other guests.
That's all
that
I can think of.
Mention that's all coming right. in tomorrow.
I'm out. I mean, to me, that sounds like a full show.
So everybody, come back and tune in tomorrow.
That's right.
Weird.
We'll see you.